Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's up, you mutts? It's another episode of the Kevin Clancy Show. Spite Tour Phase 2, Episode 13. We got Rocky Dale Davis Jr. on the show with one of the funniest conversations I've had in a long time with what I think might have been the single most awkward interview moment of my career. I'm talking, I mean, Rocky came through, we laughed, we cried, we drank, literally tears were shed. And in that moment, I had no clue what to do as the host. I was sitting there thinking, I don't know if this is real, if this is fake. I don't know if we're about to fight or hug. It was an all-time moment that you've got to stay tuned for in the back half of this episode to find out what Rocky was crying about. This dude has burst on the scene in a major way, perfect for the Spite Tour. As the Spite Tour rolls on, you know, this is the 13th episode. All 13 of these guests have been booked individually by myself, which I know sounds like one of these ridiculous self-congratulatory things. Let me just pat myself on the back for booking guests on my podcast. But when I'm trying to get a new show off the ground and I'm told that I can't have anybody helping me book guests because we can't spare any effort or whatever, I'm like, fuck you, I'll just do it myself. Well, that's the kind of guy that Rocky is, who's just saying, fuck you, I'm doing my comedy and I'm taking it to the top. Dude has been shadow banned by Instagram. He's been suppressed by the algorithm. And he's still just one of the funniest motherfuckers out there. And he proved it in this interview. So just an all-time convo between me and one of the just like the funniest, most wild guys on the scene right now. But before we get into that, I got to talk about my top three things right now in the entertainment world and in the TV world. The first being that I have never been more happy for a movie to flop than I was with The Many Saints of Newark. The Sopranos prequel comes out, nobody likes it, and I am thrilled for a couple reasons. First of all, I'm not a Sopranos guy, okay? And I know that's sacrilege. I know people say, how can you be a TV guy at Barstool and not like The Sopranos? This is the best show ever, blah, 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 blah. I didn't watch it in the moment. I watched this finale when it happened because that was part of like pop culture and the zeitgeist, but I didn't keep up with it on week to week. And I'll be honest, when you try to go that far back in time to catch up on a TV show, it's just not the same. Obviously, the show is still good and it didn't change, but when it's not, you're not part of the experience, it just never hits the same. And it's hard to go through, like, I don't know, however many seasons, 8 or 9 seasons, 5 or 6 seasons, whatever it was of it, like many, many episodes when you're so far behind on it, you don't have anyone to watch with. So it just never clicked with me. And so then when the prequel comes out and everybody's excited, I feel fucking left out. And then it sucks and I don't have to worry about it. So part of me is like, eh, fuck you guys. You thought you're going to have this big thing and now I don't have to worry about, you know, being left out. I don't have any FOMO. I'm not on the outside looking in. The second reason is because I want to stand up for the non-Sopranos fans. I don't know. There's not a lot of us. I know the vast majority of the TV world thinks that The Sopranos is top one, maybe two, maybe three, not much lower than that. Many people think it's the greatest show of all time. And then there's this small group of TV people who don't like The Sopranos or didn't watch it for whatever reason. And that's not to say that we think it's a bad show. I know that it's got great acting. I like Gandolfini. I love the cast in it. I'm not denying that it's not a well-done mafia show. That type of shit just doesn't resonate with me. I don't really like the mobster movies. I don't like The Godfather, Bronx Tale, and Goodfellas. They're fine. They're good. It just, they don't, you know, to me, that's not the end-all, be-all. So The Sopranos is just, it is what it is. And there's a small group of us out there. We're not loud about it. There's not many of us. But I want to speak up for them. I want to stand up for them. All like 15 of us, where it's like, I love television. I have many other shows that I put at the top of my list. I debate TV. I love engaging in talking about entertainment and different types of television. I've read books about that era of TV. I love fucking reading critic reviews, all that shit. You can be a fan of television and not like The Sopranos. It is possible. And same thing with The Wire. I'll do The Wire while we're at it. Two of the greatest shows of all time. I couldn't stand season two of The Wire, and it derailed the whole thing for me. And so I'm not one of these Wire dick riders. And just know that there's dozens of us out there who feel this way. And that it's not some fucking scarlet letter, like you can't walk down the block with your head held high if you don't love David Chase and The Sopranos or David Simon and the, is that his name, David Simon, and The Wire. It's not like some fucking gatekeeping rule of watching television, okay? So I don't have to have the FOMO, and I don't have to deal with hearing about it left and right, and I can stand up for the non-Sopranos fans out there. I do gotta say, I tried to watch it, and I was like, this is really bad, and maybe it's just because I'm not a Sopranos guy, so this movie's not for me. But then I started to see all the other reactions from the diehards and the critics and social media, and everything they were saying was true, where it was just like, this movie's a fucking mess. The fact that they fucked that up is mind-boggling. Even if, let's say, you didn't hate it, I saw some people being like, this is an overreaction, the movie's fine, it's not great, but it's just fine. The fact that that could be the reaction is also a huge swing and a miss. This had to be a fucking home run where you just give the fans what they want. You don't get cute with it. You don't try to like go crazy with it and work in these angles that like were never present in the show, as I understand it. Should have called up Vince Gilligan and had him do it. The only guy who ever stuck the landing with Breaking Bad when he just gave the fans what they wanted, tied up everything in a nice bow, tied up every loose end, and just did it right. And for something like this, where you have years and years and years with really no pressure to make it at all. There was nobody clamoring like, you have to do this. And then you decide you're going to do it. You decide to do the prequel. You got his son all lined up. Everything's perfect. You have to stick that. Take as much time as you want before you write the perfect script with the perfect beginning to this anti-hero that everybody loved and knock it out of the park. Otherwise, it's like, what are we doing here? Cannot believe they whiffed on that one. The other show that is stormed, that taking the world by storm, Squid Game, which by now, I mentioned it last week, I hope that everybody has watched it or diving into it. It is poised to become the most watched Netflix show in history. So basically, you know, the most successful streaming show of all time, I would imagine. If you're number one in Netflix, you got to be number one in streaming history. It is one of the most violent shows I've ever seen. It's one of the most unique, like, crazy, weird ideas. Ending not great. I think I mentioned, like, they didn't stick the ending, and I think some of the writing was a little bit, like, predictable at times. But just an unbelievable, like, burst on the scene and an unbelievable story from the creator of it. The dude who wrote it wrote this script back in 2009. And sat on it for 10 years, just continually getting denied until he finally got Netflix to buy into it. They developed it the past couple years, and now it comes out, and it becomes the most popular television show in the history of Netflix and streaming. And an all-time story for the, you know, like, the corny, like, follow your dreams and just do good work, and one day it'll be recognized sort of thing. And who knows why that happened? Who knows if he continually tried to pitch it for a decade and was always denied, or if he just pitched it a couple times in the beginning and after it was, you know, shut down 3, 4, 5 times, he just put it on the shelf and waited. It might be that he finally, you know, all these executives that he sat before couldn't see the vision and were fucking brainless and not creative. It could be that the market finally was ready for something this brutal and violent and jarring. It could be that the market was finally ready for foreign entertainment. I mean, I think Parasite really, like, knocked down a lot of walls for the anti-subtitles gang. I'm out here. I'm subtitles gang for life. We have won the war. The anti-subtitles people, you lose. You get nothing. Good day, sir. Anybody out here still being like, I don't like to read my television or I find it distracting. You're a fucking child, okay? You're a bum. The words, not that distracting. As a matter of fact, they enhance the viewing. You pick up on little things going on in the background. You remember names more. You remember places more. In shows that have heavy accents like Peaky Blinders, you're definitely picking up more. In shows like Game of Thrones, where they have made up words and worlds and names, you definitely remember it more when you read it. Team subtitles for everything except live sports. And it's something that I've been doing for years. And again, it was a small bunch of us, much like the people who didn't like The Sopranos. It was a small gang. And over the years, we've been growing larger and larger, louder and louder with all these shows that cater to subtitles. And now we've won the war. Now anybody who watches TV consistently, you're putting on your subtitles. Especially if you got kids, you got to keep it quiet, you're doing subtitles. You want to remember things more? Subtitles. You want to absorb things more as you're watching it? You want to pick up on what's going on the TV in the background or what was being whispered or little cues and noises here and there? You're putting on the subtitles. We win, you lose. These fucking guys, I can't pay attention if there's words on the screen. What? What's fucking wrong with you? I can soak it all in and read at the same time. I don't know about you. I'm pretty fucking good at reading English words. And shows like movies like Parasite and shows that really lend itself to it has finally brought people into the mainstream, and now I feel like it's more subtitles than not. So I speak, I'm like the Lorax, but I speak for the subtitles. And don't dub it over in English. Just put it on in its native language, in Korean, in Squid Games. Read through it. It's much better that way. Although I will say, if there's ever a show where you want to just dub it and have the English where their mouths don't match up, kind of is Squid Game, because you don't. That show's much more about the action and the plot and how things unfold, not as much the dialogue. But anyway, the story of Squid Game becoming the most watched TV show of all time after a 10-year, think about something that you did 10 years ago. Think about something that you like worked on or liked or created, if you even have anything on the list, 10 years ago. That is so long. Like you have completely forgotten about that. That is out of your life. It's gone. You have not thought about Squid Game in years. And then for some reason it gets revived, some reason it gets the green light, and all of a sudden, pow, you now have the keys to the castle. This dude's going to get the green light for whatever he wants to do next for the next, like, three projects, probably, from the creator of Squid Game, from the writer of Squid Game. Like, boom, you are a fucking star now, bro. Netflix is going to offer you the bag, all because you stuck with whatever you made a decade ago. And now, because people will do subtitles and they'll watch foreign entertainment and they're ready for the violence or whatever that reason is, you get, you know, the most streams of all time. It's a corny story. It's one of those like never give up sort of things, and there's no such thing as failure. There's only, you know, learning experiences and all that kind of shit. But it would also be the greatest fuck you tour ever to everybody who passed. I'm calling up the HBO execs. I'm laughing in Bezos's face at Amazon Prime. I'm calling up everybody saying, hey, remember this? Remember this thing that you said was too violent, or people won't get past that it's in Korean, or I don't get it, it's too weird, or I didn't like the ending. Yeah, it's the most popular TV show of all time, motherfuckers. How about that? Season 2, I mean, that dude, I don't know if he already, what he already has written, but clearly they set up a season 2 for Squid Game, and that guy is going to have the most pressure on him since Nick Pizzolatto and True Detective season 2. For him to bring the heat, like that was, again, a passion project of his that he probably worked on for years and years and years and then was denied for that decade. And now they're going to be like, okay, we need another one in like, 9 months? Sounds good. Big time pressure for that guy. And again, like everyone in the world will fucking tune in after being denied for a decade, the greatest spite tour of all time for that dude. You want to see a spite tour? Watch what this guy does next. And thirdly, in the TV world, Game of Thrones announces, HBO announces the prequel, their own prequel, House of Dragon is out. And I did the 1 Minute Man on it, so if you saw the video, you already know. But I told myself I was done. I told myself I was out on Thrones. I gave them my heart. my soul, my brain, and they just shit on all of it, stomped on all of it, gave me one of the worst endings of all time, really just stumbled to the finish line for multiple seasons toward the end there. And I don't even necessarily blame them. Benioff and Weiss, the showrunners, they get so much of the blame, and I understand why, because at the end of the day, they are the showrunners. They run the show. They came up with this show. It's their show that ended poorly. They get all the blame. But when you were just relying on the fact that the author and the creator of this story was going to finish it in time, and he just doesn't even come close, and you've got to just pick up the ball and run with it, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't have his brain. I don't have his vision. I don't know where we're fucking going. He pointed them in the right direction. Ultimately, you gotta think that George R. R. Martin realizes that his ending of his book was going to pretty much fucking suck, too. But trying to come up with several seasons worth of a book that's not yours, it's not really their fault at the end of the day. So I said, I'm done. Not after season 8 of Game of Thrones. Not after you told me that Jon Snow was half Targaryen and we were going to think he was going to be riding dragons and he was going to take the throne. And then all of a sudden you're like, nah, he's going to go be a security guard on the fucking wall. Not after you built up the White Walkers for 7 goddamn seasons, alluding to this clash between all of humankind and the White Walkers. Not after you started teasing the Night King being this warging, time-traveling, spike-carrying villain of all, like the biggest villain of all time. You set up this war between the worlds, and it ended in one fucking night with no major casualties to any main characters, and ends with Arya stabbing him with a fucking single dagger? That's not after that. Not after giving me Bran the Boring, Bran the Broken, sitting on the throne that nobody wanted. Shout out to Clem, my esteemed colleague Clem called that years before it happened. And the way they could have done it with Bran, they could have had him warging into things. They could have had him battle with the Night King. They could have had some reason why that boring-ass motherfucker would win the throne in the end. But not the way they did it. Not the way they were coming up with storylines that made no fucking sense. Like that, where they brought in Euron and they had the battles in the middle of the fucking ocean where like they obviously would have seen it coming. Not after you aired episodes that I couldn't even see the fucking action on the television because it was too dark, and then had the audacity to blame me and my television and the viewers at home. I never once have had to adjust the settings on my TV to be able to watch the television show I'm looking at. Never once has there been a show where I said, oh, we need to put up the contrast and turn up the brightness and turn down the tint and up the contrast. Never once has anybody ever moved those fucking bars. Never. Tint, contrast, brightness, pitch, those stay right in the middle the day you buy the TV and the day you throw them out. And all of a sudden Game of Thrones says, well, you had to adjust it to see it. Why the fuck would I have to do that? I've never had to do that before. And you still got Game of Thrones dick riders who say, nah, it was fine for me. What are you talking about? No, it fucking wasn't. It just wasn't. I know you're lying. I know when you look at the screen, you can't see anything. Because I got 20/20 vision and I can't see shit, you fucking liars. So I was out. I was never going to do it again. I said, scrap all those prequels you've got. You've lost all of your credit with your fan base. You lost all of your connection and clout and slack. It's gone. If you looked at like the Comic-Con appearances, used to be like a line out the door, around the building, out the corner to sit on the throne and take pictures and see the characters. Then after that, poof, gone. Nothing. Zero interest. You have the people on the red carpet themselves being like, I don't really know what the fuck was that about. We had the video of the people in the writer's room reading the scripts, like throwing the script, being like, this sucks. Everybody agreed it was done, it was gone. And HBO sat there going, yeah, we're good. Yeah, I know you're disappointed. Yeah, we are too. I'm sure they were like, fuck George R. R. Martin, that furry fuck. The greatest author of all time who can't finish books. I'm sure they were like, I'm sure they weren't happy either. Benioff and Weiss lost like their entire careers. They got the boot from Star Wars after that shit. I'm sure they hate it too. And HBO probably said, we're good. Give it a minute. Like Braveheart. Hold. Not yet. All right, drop the trailer. And they put out the perfect teaser. I mean, the perfect teaser. Not much to it. just a bunch of platinum-haired Targaryens, and you were like, yep, you two, your brother and sister, and you're probably going to fuck, and you're probably going to kill each other. Then a bunch of swords and a bunch of fucking dragons with just a few words on the trailer. That shit where he's like, kings, gods, swords, blood. I was like, oh, fuck. It's heating up. It's heating up. And then they dropped the hammer with that tagline. Dreams do not make us kings. Dragons do. And they tell us that there's 17 dragons in this series, alluding to the Targaryens of the past, 200 years before the Game of Thrones. And everybody is right back in. I can understand if you still are holding your ground, saying, like, fuck that, I'm not going to get dragged back in. But just know that I know you're lying to yourself. If you publicly want to tell your friends in the TV world and social media, no, I'm never going to let them do it to me again, that's fine. But I know deep inside you're going, oh, shit, that fucking trailer was pretty dope. Because it was. Because it's an undeniable trailer. It was seasons 1 through 4 of Game of Thrones. It looks like the series that we always wanted. We always wanted the dragons and the fire breathing. We barely even got it in Game of Thrones. Took many seasons before we ever even saw a full power dragon doing dragon shit, fucking people up with their dragon shit. And we loved it. This is going to get 6 times the amount of dragon play that we got. 17 dragons in the prequel. All of that Targaryen shit. Before, everything they've alluded to, everything the book readers loved, it's based on the completed book. I think it's called Fire and Wind, Fire and whatever. That's a full, done, completed book. No loose ends, no nothing to tie up. George R. R. Martin can guide the whole thing. Benioff and Weiss are not part of it. It is the perfect recipe to bring everybody back into Game of Thrones. And I don't know if HBO knew it. I would love to think of them as being like, let the baby cry to sleep. Let the baby cry themselves to sleep. Let them throw their temper tantrum. Let them scream and yell. And then we'll give them a fucking treat. Now here's your bottle. You want a baba? Here, come have a little warm milk. Come have a baba before bed, you fucking children. Because we had to try to finish a story that we didn't have the ending to. And when we go back and we do it again, the exact same way we did it for the first 4 or 5 seasons, which was, by all acclaim, one of the greatest TV shows of all time, we're going to be able to just do that again with a full completed story. And we're going to fuck you up with incest and slaughter and dragons and magic. And you're going to love it because you're puppets on the string of our tennis shoes. And I will gladly just dance like fucking Pinocchio. Sign me up. I'm in on House of Dragon. And I'll tell you something else. We kind of jokingly retweeted the Game of Stools logo, the podcast that we did for the last season of Game of Thrones. A lot of people started throwing out, you know, a lot of interest, being like, I'd listen if this is coming back. So not only am I back in on the game, not only am I back in on Game of Thrones as a viewer, as a fan, I might be back on Game of Thrones as a content creator. You never know. Maybe team up with Ross Bolin, Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, get going with some House of Dragon content from day one. You never know. But that shit, that trailer, bravo. Whoever did that deserves like a fucking Medellin type check from Vinny Chase and the boys in Entourage, because that changed everything. With one like 60-second video, erased all of that final season and has me roped right back in. So shout out to HBO. I'm back. Like Michael Scott said, I'm ready to be heard again. No doubt about it. I'm ready to be heard again. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back. Let's get into old Rocky Dale Davis Jr. Like I said, one of the funniest comics in the game. One of the funniest sit-down combos I've had off the fucking walls. This is what happens when a man travels with his own bottle of whiskey. Dude sat down, I pulled out some beers, he pulls out a bottle of whiskey, I think it's bourbon maybe, and he's like, let's start drinking. Well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get a couple grown men who are crying, fighting, talking, laughing, almost 2 hours with one of the best comics in the game right now. It's brought to you by Cuts Clothing. I'm sure Rocky likes to look sharp. I know he does. He's always bragging about his muscles and his guns. He wants to look sharp. If you're in shape, Cuts Clothing, the best look for you. If you're not in shape, you can also look sharp. But if you are in shape, you take it to the next level. I will be wearing my Cuts Clothing as a skinny fat customer. You can get the crew necks, the V necks. You can get the Henleys with the buttons. You can get the elongated bottom with the scoop cut or the hem, the stitched hem. All different colors, but all classic looks. The monotone, white, black, gray, tan. Everything you need to just have a classic, clean, manly look. You don't have to worry about the trends. You don't have to worry about what's in right now, because these are classics. Well, you will always look sharp. You don't want to look back in 10 years and be like, I look like some fucking asshole on TikTok who was dressing for that flavor of the month. No, no, no. These are t-shirts and hoodies and long sleeve tees that will always be in style, and you will always look sharp. I rock them like 8 days a week at this point. I've got them in every single color, multiple sizes, unfortunately. There was a time where I could squeeze into like a medium. I was always a large. Now I'm like pushing XL. It's an all-time classic for my wardrobe, and it's a staple you've got to have as well. So go to cutsclothing.com/Kevin and get 15% off your first order. I say make that first order a big one so you get that full 15% on everything you need. If you're going to get a couple shirts and you like the styles and the colors, you might as well get them all. Get every style, every color, and bam, your entire closet is done. Everything you pull out of the closet, everything you pull off the top of your pile, the top of the drawer, you're always going to look sharp. It's cutsclothing.com/Kevin for 15% off. Let's do it. Rocky Dale Davis Jr. on The Kevin Clancy Show. All right, let's dive right in. Cheers, brother.
Cheers, man.
Welcome to New York, because you got a crash course right there. Driving in New York is the most ridiculous thing you can do.
It doesn't make sense. When I was driving, it was almost like there's an issue with the city where there are too many people that live here. And I'm about
yeah,
to
say, no, that's the problem.
I have a new level of fucking respect though for the people that drive in the city.
Okay.
We're like, you know how like when a car's coming but another car's coming that's a little ways down, so you kind of like jump across real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I will never fucking do that. No. Because now you're like, because then when that's happening while you're driving, mm-hmm. you are freaking out. You're looking at the phone. This parking spot's bad. Then people come by on bikes. The guys on
bikes
here,
are fucking
it's like they're fucking Superman. They have no idea what they're doing.
And like some guys on bikes are like delivery men who have been delivering for years, and they do know what they're doing. They're in and out. They're zipping. And then you got like some dude who like rented a city bike, and he's got his backpack on. He's in his suit, and he's wobbling while he rides, but he doesn't even look. I mean, it's crazy.
They were going, dude, we were going, a guy was coming up the traffic. So, like, mm-hmm. we're going this way. He's coming up traffic mm-hmm. in a scooter mm-hmm. wearing an earring, which, I'm sorry, that means you're not a badass. There's no way you're wearing an earring that dangles. Maybe if it was just a stud right there, you know, from prison or something.
The only dangling badass, I think, is Barry Bonds. He used to rock that.
Oh, yeah.
The cross.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, at least if you're on steroids or something. It was an hour and 15 minutes. I drove around this fucking square block looking for parking. And like the first like 10 minutes, I'm getting my phone, I'm like, this is fucking, I hate this. This is why I don't come to New York. This is why I fucking hate it. This is why I hate it.
Right.
And then it was like 30 minutes. I'm like, this is a real issue.
This is getting crazy.
And then like,
this is getting
crazy. The time we're supposed to record. And I'm like, I'm in my car. I'm going, fuck you. And I'm just hitting my horn. And like, no one's even in front of me.
See, that's what's funny is like, people judge New Yorkers, and rightfully so, that we're like loudmouths and assholes and impatient.
Yeah.
We are.
Right.
But then, you know, you get here, and within 45 minutes, you became one. Fucking get out of my fucking way!
That's what I'm
saying. It's kill or be killed. It's doggy dog. It's like, you gotta be aggressive, too, or you're done.
It reminds me of that movie I watched. I watched a Disney movie, Soul, yesterday. It just goes back to, like, where someone, they start losing their soul, basically. And that's what happened to me. Where I stood up on the subway and gave a lady my seat every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always do that, and I felt myself losing it. And then I thought back to all these New York comics that had the fucking nerve. The nerve to say that Austin, Texas sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You're an idiot, dude. At least parking has to be like...
Well, let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened. There's too many people in the city, no doubt.
100%.
But most of us were smart enough to say, having a car in the city is fucking stupid. We're not doing it.
Right.
But there was still enough people that drove in for whatever reason. They have off hours. They get a parking deal, whatever. There was a certain amount of people driving. Then the pandemic hit. When people needed to start to go back to work, though, I didn't want to take the train. I don't want to take the subway. So I started driving. Driving in during the pandemic, cake. 20 minutes to get in from the suburbs. Got music on. I got my podcast on. I'm no strangers. Could park wherever I wanted. Slowly but surely, everything starts to fill back up. But now I'm so used to
driving.
You're
used to your lifestyle.
So now I can't stop. And now I'm the asshole, because there used to be this amount of drivers. And then now I've added to it, and I haven't gone back to the mass transit. So now it's like 1.5 times the amount of people. There's just like a 50% more drivers no spots, no parking, no, you know, nothing else changed but the amount of drivers. So now the whole city's fucked. And while I admit that it's people like me, it's my fault, I'm still like, this is fucking bullshit.
It's fucking bullshit. But that's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be a luxury, though. Driving, it shouldn't.
I know.
Dude, how cool is it, though? Like, if you have your car and you're like, I'm going to bring something to work today, and you just bring it.
Yeah.
You could bring a fucking ton of shit with you. And if you want, you just go back and get it.
Yeah.
And that's how things are supposed to be. Like, if you go somewhere, you just drive your car there, and then you put the stuff in your car. Like, this fucking system is broken. It is broken.
But you know
in
what
New
it
York.
Does? Though it limits the amount of shit and stuff. Like, how much of that stuff do you need in your car? It's always you're just piling shit into your apartment or your house that you don't need. I guess the difference is you guys have like basements and attics and
yeah, we have huge houses.
Yeah, so for us it's like I need the clothes on my back and I need like two pairs of shoes and that's it. That's all I can afford. That's all I can fit.
Yeah.
That's all I can carry.
That's how you think. When I used to live here, I think like now when I used to live here and it blows my mind. Like, I live in Austin now. I live on a golf course. I have a 2,000 square foot house. I have a garage with an 85 inch QLED TV. I have a bourbon selection to my right. I have a sound system and no one fucks. And if I want to go somewhere, I get in my car and I drive inside of the fucking Best Buy. I drive inside of it and they throw my Xbox at me and I fucking leave. It is crazy. This city blows. I just don't understand how, like, the comedy here is great. I'm not denying that. The comedy is amazing in New York. But fucking dude,
you know
what?
I don't know what it is because, like, this happens a lot with the Knicks, too, because people talk about the Madison Square Garden is the mecca of basketball. And it's like, but the Knicks suck, and they have for a long time. And I get that. But I don't know why, but when LeBron comes to the Garden, when Kobe came to the Garden, when Jordan came to the Garden, it's always a big deal. So I can't put my finger on it, and I don't even know. And listen, I hate this city more than you do. I promise you that. I lived here my whole life. I want out so bad. I don't know why I don't leave. Unfortunately, my whole life is here. It's too expensive. It's too dirty. It's too crowded. All this shit. But all that being said, there is some reason why the comedy here is great and why the money is here and why the, like, I don't know what it is, but there is some corny thing about New York where it, like, it's the thing that, like, girls will be like, it's, you know, like, there's no place like New York, you know, but it's like, I don't know why, but it's kind of true.
See, my girlfriend said that,
you know?
My girlfriend said that until someone masturbated in front of her in the subway.
And then it's like, I told you there's no place like New York.
Yeah, I'm like, you still want to stay? She's like, now let's go somewhere else. Y'all should buy at like a town in Ohio. Y'all should just buy the whole, like, buy Akron.
Just be like,
no one's
just like
fucking
Barstool,
lives there.
Barstool, Cleveland. Like, or Barstool, Ohio.
No,
like,
Cleveland's too
it.
Big, but, like, buy, like, Akron or, like, Dayton fucking sucks, dude.
Just rename it, though.
Yeah.
I just want it to be Barstool,
buy
Ohio.
Buy Denton, Texas. Just buy the
whole Denton, Texas. We discussed this. You know, they were in Boston, and we talked about putting an office up there. And I remember at the time, I was like, well, like, if I'm going to move... my wife at the time, I was like, you got to, like, match her salary. Like, you just do a move for me. So, like, we talked about Boston a little bit. We talked about coming here and not being in Manhattan, being, like, out in Queens. Out in Queens, we were going to get this spot that was, like, a fucking fantasy factory.
Right.
It was, like, quadruple the space.
Right.
But ultimately, it came down to, like, when someone comes through to do, like, the Tonight Show in New York or whatever, they also can just pop here and
exactly.
do it.
That's the
and that,
deal.
And that's what I mean. That,
that
kind
is,
of shit
that's
is not is. Changing. You
no.
Know? That's the X factor. And it sucks otherwise, but that's where, you know, the money's going to be and the fame's going to be and the opportunity's going to be.
I'm just going
to... But living here is fucking...
I'm just going to sit my happy ass in Austin and post
Man,
TikToks.
If I didn't have family here, just smoke stoves
just
and fucking post TikToks.
Hopefully I'll post a TikTok that'll get on the right fucking wavelength and I can just keep selling tickets.
Man, I kept being told, you know, all you got to do is, like, catch one wave on TikTok. And it's like, well, I haven't caught any waves. Where are the fucking waves, man?
Dude, it's such a weird thing. That whole the whole algorithm of every website is so different.
And it's
so TikTok gives everyone a chance though. TikTok will actually like it's pretty much like shown now. If you have a profile, it gives everyone a chance to go viral. Like it has one video that it pushes more than the rest. Mm-hmm. And those people you retain, I thought they would be like children, but they're not. They're like actually
actual
adults.
People. I think in the beginning, TikTok was pretty, like,
pretty
kid
kids.
Heavy. And
when it
was
a dance and shit, when it was musically.
Right.
It shifted so
everybody
much.
Everybody joined in, and then, like, you know, you're going to find your people on that app. I think YouTube's good, too. I feel
YouTube's
like YouTube
the
is
best
the OG, and it's, like, its algorithm is, like, no matter how many big superstars there are, if you make content that people are watching and it has high retention and you're getting subscribed, you will get pushed.
Yeah, you
and
get
it's
pushed.
True. That's why, because, you know, that's how these new superstars rise. Because
yeah.
You know, it's the only one where like a view
is 30 seconds or whatever. So you right. gotta actually put some time, you know, these places that are like, oh, I got you know, 10 million views, and it's like a view is half an eyeball.
A view is as like, you're swiping through.
Yes, exactly. So
I feel like YouTube, with the people you get to, you keep them for a long time.
That's I think it's crazy for us. YouTube is the one thing, and that's why we're doing this kind of shit and trying to make high quality video and long form that's intriguing and captivating. Because YouTube is just Barstool and YouTube just they don't match. Like ordinarily we tell people like go follow this Twitter account, go follow this Instagram account, go buy this t-shirt, go check out this special.
Yeah.
And we just get a wave of our fans are always listening and loyal.
Yeah.
And then we say subscribe to YouTube and they just don't. And I get it though, because I don't, when I go to YouTube, I don't log in and I don't like subscribe and I don't have a channel. I just search for fucking videos and watch one-offs, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's like a generation of people or a demo of people that are like, I just don't use YouTube that way. And I'm like, now I'm on the other side of it. I'm like, I fucking need you guys to
Yeah,
use
I just
way.
Need
please,
you to do it.
Please. And I tell them, I'm like, it's just your Gmail login.
Yeah.
So even if you don't use it and do it that way, just click it one time for me. Just
it's
click
such a...
One button. It changes our lives so much if they click
so
one button.
So much if they do one... Because it's funny because with like, someone told me the other day, they go, if you grow your Instagram, it doesn't grow your YouTube. However, if you grow your YouTube, it does grow your Instagram.
Yes.
Like a guy like Cody Ko. Like, I love Cody Ko.
Huge.
Cody Ko, Noel, and Drew Gooden. Like, those kind of guys. Like, that's why I'm starting to, like, shift my content-wise, because we've almost been banned off Instagram at this point.
I noticed that. I saw you the other day. You said, like,
it was happening while I was here. I didn't realize it last time.
Yeah.
The sensitive content control, man, what they're doing. I haven't talked to the New York guys. I've talked to about five other comics, though. And we're all seeing a drastic drop in our... I've lost, at this point, 94% of my accounts reached. I haven't
Holy
grown...
fuck.
I haven't grown a follower in 2 months. I used
oh,
to grow
yeah,
about...
That's
a,
crazy.
I grew about 1,000 every day or two.
Yeah,
before.
I was going to say, that's nuts.
So 1,000 every day or two before, accounts reached has dropped from 1.1 million
are you,
to
Are you saying controversial
000.
Shit on there?
I don't say controversial shit. It's a computer that determines this shit. The mm-hmm. same computer that told me white trash was hate speech. So that's the issue of what we're doing, and
but
we,
so like you got pitched a couple times for saying white trash.
So the white trash thing.
So
I,
that probably,
I posted
you probably
white
get
trash.
A fucking black mark on your
yeah,
name, and
they removed
it
supposedly because my account went back up. Because when I got shadow banned, and I legit got shadow banned, my account dropped from like 1.2 million accounts reached to 69,000.
Holy
and I lost
shit.
I lost about I think it's like 15 grand in ticket sales because of it.
Yeah.
But I was talking to clubs like we didn't sell a ticket the past 2 weeks. And they go, you sold 180 before that, but you haven't sold a ticket in 2 weeks. And I go, yeah, I got shadow banned 2 weeks
yeah.
ago. So it was insanity. We reach out to Instagram, get it resolved. Page shoots back up to 1.3, 1.4 million accounts reached, and then we're just booming right with followers. Then, the 2 weeks later, they had the sensitive content control, which is on everyone's account automatically.
Yeah. Right, that you have to, you default yeah. into not showing you sensitive accounts.
Yeah.
You got to go in and turn it off.
And some people can't. Some people can't even allow.
That's crazy.
And so when that happened, I was dropping about 30,000 accounts reached per day. So I was just it was just dropping slowly. And now where my page is almost useless. And we've seen ticket sales just, I mean, why not selling tickets? So we're trying to do the community thing where you text and shit.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, with doing that, it's like you can't reach the people to tell them that.
Right.
Right. And then people are like, they're like, well, just post more. I'm like, I did that. A week, I posted two clips a day. The Rock engaged with me twice. Still nothing. It's crazy what they're doing.
Well,
so
that's
you
why
to
you
go
hope
restart.
You do shit like this too, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
We put it out there, we put it on our accounts, and
that's
grow. But like, what is even sensitive content, and what is
that's
you know,
the
like,
issue, man? Like,
it's so
is white trash. If I can't say white trash, if white trash is hate speech, which it's not, like I don't give a fuck if a black person says white trash.
Right.
So it's like, but if I can't say it with my history of right. what I've grown up with,
being white trash,
I'm the most I'm the most white trash human ever.
Yeah.
And so it's like, why can I not say it? So then, like, where does it go? And that's why we're now starting a YouTube and a Patreon. I was like, I have to do something.
Do you think you're getting reported by, like, trolls and haters?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think that a lot about my shit where it's like, you know, I just, it's nothing controversial, but if 10,000 people report you,
right.
then they're like, our hands are tied. We have to, like, react
that's,
to this.
I don't know. That's what I wonder about because I don't think that's necessarily the issue because it wasn't really a bunch of reports that did it. I only had technically one report. It's just I think my account, like my friends, my one buddy, he stopped doing Instagram completely. He just basically deleted his account with 1 million followers.
See, I mean, I get it. Like, if you're going to just reach like 10,000 accounts and you lose, you know,
99% of your reach, but don't, I mean, what, I mean, just leave. Don't delete it.
Like, no,
don't,
I'm not deleting it.
Okay, yeah.
No, dude, that's like, my, dude, that's my lifeline of the rock. Like right. I'm not deleting. Hey, that's right. That's the place.
But even just in general, like, it's just, you don't have to focus on it. You don't have to dedicate your time to
right.
it.
Right. That's
but don't delete it. Because,
no, no.
Because the algorithms, they do change.
Like, they change. That's the thing. I don't know. I put money into my Instagram. I had a team that mm-hmm. edited my videos, mm-hmm. and so I was like, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm not just posting videos for nothing.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to make it exclusively for YouTube. And make all my content for YouTube. And people, I mean, you would have thought I asked them to give me their first fucking born.
I know.
And I'm like, bro, just go over there.
I know it's hard. It's like I'm trying to put myself in the position of like being a consumer when, you know, I'm used to listening to it on this platform and you ask me to go to another and it's like annoying, but it's like, it's really not that big of a deal.
It's not.
And it's like, I get it that people are set in their ways and have their routines and they go here instead of there and all that shit. But if you like me and you fuck with my shit, like, it's making my career so much harder if you don't do this, you know? And it's like, I don't want to whine, I don't want to complain, I don't want to beg, but, like, we need these YouTube numbers up, and all it takes is a click, and, like, they
one
just
click.
Won't do it.
And then also, hey, guess what? YouTube is better than Instagram.
I know.
It's better.
That's what I tell
people. I'm trying
to I'm like,
help you.
I'm like, like even knowing that I don't use it the way I'm talking about, I'm like, but I do know the power of it and the convenience of it and the way it feeds you more videos you like you will find more shit you to
well, also
you and it will be better, you know.
Like if you see like an Instagram video of mine you like and you're like, fuck, what was that video Rocky did? And you're searching my page and stuff. You could just go on YouTube and type
in
Rocky, you know, fucking beat up a chipmunk or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then like it's on there.
Yep.
So it's like that's the shit you go into it. That's why YouTube's great. But even my mom, like my mom just, she cannot grasp. She goes, I don't like to put my email in. I'm like, you've put your email in for everything else.
I know.
You put it in for Trump's teddy bear fucking thing. So it's like you can't go in and just do, like it's,
right.
it's does it, even with a text thing, people with the texting app where you text me and it's an app, it logs in where you live. Basically makes it easy for me when I'm coming to Nashville. I can say, hey, I'm fucking coming to Nashville.
Right.
Here I am, right?
Right.
And so I ask people to sign up, and people are signing up, and I'm getting messages. I know this isn't real. This is a scam, right? And I go, no, it's me. They go, no, it's not. I'm like, yeah, it is. I go,
I'm sure there are some big celebrities who are, you know, their managers doing it for them or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's also people out there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, me and, like, it's like, I'm cussing in it. I'm saying, like, motherfucker, suck my dick and stuff. I'm like, would you think a computer would say this? Like, like what computer did I hire to do this? This is obviously me. But even get people signed up for that is tough, man. That's what the thing that bothers me the most is just, first off, understanding how much money I've lost already because of this. And looking at that.
I mean, they're fucking with livelihoods.
Yeah, you know? Literally. And then you're sitting there and you're like, this, you know how hard it is to grow a following?
Right.
Off stand-up clips?
Right.
Oh, it's the fucking hardest, dude. If I'm not a character being some kind of like, you know, I'm an actual stand-up comedian doing stand-up clips and I grow it and then that fucking little Silicon Valley cuck,
just
which
like
is why his wife's getting fucked, one button fucks up my whole life. You know?
And I get like, you know, I fucking hate Alex Jones for his Sandy Hook truth or shit, or if you're like an extreme person who's causing problems or truly hate speech or dangerous, I don't know, whatever. I get it. But when it's just like, you're fucking with this comic's livelihood, you're fucking with this, this, you know, entertainers, this video creator, this like vlogger, like just that to me is crazy. That's what, like, I hate being at the mercy of these. I used to do 1 minute, man, on Facebook back in like 2017,
18. Yeah.
And in the beginning, millions of views on the algorithm. Then they switched it up with like this, that, the other thing. And it plummeted. And I was just like, all right, well, I'm not doing it on your shit anymore. And then a couple years later, I revive it on Instagram and it's working. But if they change their platform, I don't know. I'm going to move to the next thing, too. It seems like it's bad for business, but
Facebook is the worst, by the way.
Oh, I don't even fuck with Facebook anymore.
Facebook.
I didn't even know I had a Facebook till he told me the other day that they've been running it still.
Like, yeah, you know, it's on there.
Yeah,
it's on there.
I didn't even know.
Comments are great, by the way.
Oh, yeah? I'm sure.
Comments
I'm sure,
are real fun on there.
I'm sure they love me.
Dude, Facebook, to me, I think I'm on, I may delete my Facebook. And what's funny, though, I've toured with people that were Facebook comedians.
Really?
And the tickets
funny
they
people?
Sell. No.
Oh, okay. Not. I was going to say.
No.
If you tell me you're a Facebook comedian, I'd be like,
They're not good. But but I toured with one guy that was the Southern Mama guy. Uh-huh. So he's the guy that got booed off stage in Montreal. And I got him into stand up. So he had 2 million followers at the time on Facebook. Dude, we did 3,500 tickets in Lebanon, not Lexington, Kentucky or Louisville, Lebanon, Kentucky, at a ham festival. He sold 3,500 fucking tickets. So we're doing all these shows, and it's like from Facebook. He just does, dude, he does no editing. He does the right here on his phone and just clicks, like where you can click and it kind of like would cut automatically.
Yeah.
No video editing, no lighting, nothing. And you're like, like my YouTube video I just put up, it took me about 5 hours to edit that. It's a fucking nice long process. Yeah, linking the mic.
Around the clock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you got some guy like, get y'all's asses in here right now. And he's selling out the Staples. They did the Ryman in Nashville. It's so it's like, what are we doing?
I mean, I don't want to hate on people and like,
no,
God bless
no, that
you,
guy's an asshole.
Like,
we can
okay,
hate
fuck
on
that
him.
Guy. That guy drives me crazy.
That guy's a piece of shit. That
yeah,
way,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't get mad about, you know, a lot of people got mad about like the TikTok fame. And it's just like, listen, I don't know. That's what the market wants. And these kids are dancing or telling goofy jokes or whatever the fuck. And it's working. So
it changed my life. TikTok is the reason everything happened.
Did you ever think that you like, you're very savvy about it now. We're talking about algorithms, and we're talking about, you know, different platforms, all this shit.
I can put a pinky up.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm saying. I would guess, you know, if I were to profile you, I would guess that growing up or when you first got into the game, you were not thinking about, like, the technology side of things.
No.
Right?
No.
But it's just as important as the content.
CMT's Redneck Island because I thought it was going to make me famous because Party Down South. Was like the big thing.
Right.
And so I thought that was going to be like Redneck Island was going to be my thing that launched, but I didn't have no idea about technology. And I remember
how did that go? Tell me about that, Redneck Island.
So Redneck Island?
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, dude, I'm just going to be honest with you. Every network sucks. Like all of them suck all together. And CMT sucks the hardest. I mean, country music television, it's a bunch of fucking pussies running around with like a Luke Bryan shirt on. Yeah, like, we're country music. It's like, right. No, you're not.
Florida,
dude.
Georgia line.
Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Santa Cruz, California. You have no idea. So what was funny, though, is on that TV show on Redneck Island, Riley Green was on it. Riley Green's one of the top selling music artists in the country right now. So I can't even be the best from a shitty reality show. That's what really sucks. Like, I was booming.
Fuck, I'm second best.
This sexy ass country. Yeah. He's gorgeous. He's a good looking dude. He can't sing for shit, but he can write music really well. And he don't text me back anymore. So that's why I talk shit about him every chance I get. But
was this a competition show or like a living house show?
It was Real World meets. It was basically a CMT Road Rules. Basically,
got it.
So we lived in a house, we got drunk every day, and we did challenges. It was called Redneck Island because it used to be previously held in Mexico. But apparently, the Mexican people down there were like, if y'all bring these rednecks back, we're going to fucking kill them. They go, we're going to kill... They go, these fucking hillbillies
down here...
Cartel
ain't having that.
You know, calling me Miguel. My name is Jason, you know? Like, they're going to murder everyone here. So they brought them down to Mexico. So when I did the show, I was supposed to be on Party Down South 2. Which Party Down South 1 hit.
That was big.
Banger.
Yeah.
Party Down South 2, not as big.
That was like the Little Blonde was on that one, right?
The Little Blonde... Little Bit.
Yeah, something like that.
Little Bit was the first one.
Right.
That was Little Bit, Maddie, who I saw before. Yeah. Right. So those motherfuckers.
I think they
made money.
Little Bit way back. Like
Little Bit Taylor was the name. Yeah,
yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah.
They had a second season of that, and I had gotten passed all the way through, and they had told me I was on the show. And then so I went out the night when they told me, and I got really drunk. I got caught at 6 a.m. from them, and they go, Rocky, what's up? I'm like, what's up? And they go, you like to party? I'm like, yeah.
I go,
what do you do, man? You get down. What do you drink? I go, I drink like alcohol. And they go, okay. They 5 minutes, and they like, ask me questions, and I'm just like hungover. They hang up, never talk to me again. I talked to my buddy. They did the same thing to him. It was to see if you could go out and get drunk and maintain the next
morning.
Day, because that's how fucking crazy these shows are.
And you didn't pass.
I didn't pass. But then I got on Redneck Island. When I got on Redneck Island, I'm not exaggerating. You got to stay up to about 1 or 2 every night. You got to be up to 1 or 2. All they have in the fridge is in the morning they have Red Bull and Gatorade, and then at about 4 or 5 it swaps to only beer and alcohol, or only beer and like vodka and Fireball and shit. The first day
make content. That's you know, like
bro,
no more water.
We went through a
alcohol.
Case of beer every 15 minutes the
oh
first day.
Oh my god!
Because like also I hadn't really drank.
And how
at
old
that
are you
time.
At this point?
I was 21.
Oh my lord!
21. And I wasn't in great shape, but I was one of the better looking dudes in the island because it was a bunch of rednecks. And I mean, there was not many teeth in that building. But so like we just got drunk every day, and then we did these challenges. But we didn't live on an island; we lived in a subdivision in Georgia. It literally, like, I'm not lying. We had people to our left and to our right and behind us. And then they would be like, guys, because it was Stone Cold was the host, which I was fucking over the moon about, wow. Right? Yeah. So Stone Cold would be like, guys, all right, we're going to head to the challenge now. And we would just walk into the woods and they'd be like, all right, cut. And we'd hop into a van and then go down the fucking street. So then we'd go, and these challenges, they take 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
When it's a water challenge, they have to do so many things, safety protocols before they bring you back. And so it was a miserable, it was miserable because you're just, and you start losing it. You start like, because these are the only people you're seeing. Mm-hmm. You're drunk every day. You wake up, they have an LED light over your bed. It turns on at like 9 a.m. You got to get up and
start getting
going.
That footage. Yeah.
And
they
it was an awful experience. They didn't pay any money. I broke my toe on the show. I broke my finger. One challenge, I had to hold on to a carpet pole about 20 foot over a water with a girl strapped to my back while she held on. Gotcha. Well, this bitch, Becky, decides to fall and doesn't say anything. So I am locked into this pole. My arm, you can kind of see a little bit. You see that little mark right there? That was, it pulled the skin completely off and then dropped into this Georgia water that's full of a bunch of fucking Bulldogs fans pissed.
I was going to say, that's instant infection there.
So my last day, crawl. I have a miniature little, because I hit my eye on something too.
Jeez.
Skin pulled off my leg and my feet, a broke toe and a broke finger.
And it's like, great.
For
like
$700.
I was going to say, yeah. For what?
And then it airs and they made me look like an asshole.
And how long were you there for?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, you just hung over, there's drama. Are you, like, fucking these chicks and stuff?
No, because you're going to want to have sex with someone, and then two cameras are on top of you while you're going to have sex. And I'm like, I can't have this happen in, like, TV. My mom would be really upset about it. I was still on her insurance back then.
Right.
And so I got to, like, play this shit
and
safe.
You need the insurance if you're getting your skin
exactly.
ripped off. Yeah.
And so then what sucks, though, is they bait you with these questions. They did it to me. They had me, they had me saying, I hate Sarah, which I like Sarah very much. And they had me saying I hate her, but I realized what they did. They go, Rocky, do you like tacos? Like, I love tacos. They go, what do you don't like? I'm like, I don't like spaghetti. And then they go, so what do you think of Sarah? And I'm like, Sarah's cool. And then I hand the show, it goes, I don't like my face cuts into Sarah's face. And then it says Sarah. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, dude. Yeah. It was it was an awful experience. And by the way, it did nothing for my career. No. It did nothing for
anyone.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I've never heard that about you.
You never will, dude. Yeah. You never will. I kissed a dude on the show. I mean, it was like, I mean, it was a
that
wild
I don't
time.
Think I would expect.
No, dude, I kiss dudes, like, a lot lately. Like, I've been getting real drunk, and I, like, I don't know why. I get drunk, and I headbutt, and I kiss. So, and you don't know which one's coming.
I was going to say, if I can get on the kiss list, I would prefer that to the headbutt.
I know, but I don't headbutt you in the head. I headbutt you, like, in the shoulder. But, like, I've been getting drunk.
I think I'd rather the kiss.
Well, okay. Well, we'll find out. I mean, we're drinking some good shit right here. We'll find out which one you are. I get too drunk. I get drunk. I get real confident. And then, like, I was at a cigar festival the other day, mm-hmm. and I was yelling at a bunch of cigar people. Like, I was just yelling at them, like, work on your social media, you fucking idiots. They're running billion-dollar corporations. And I'm like, you fucking dummies have no idea what you're talking about, dude.
You got on TikTok?
And then I'm hugging them, and I'm kissing them on the cheek and stuff. These are grown men. I'm just like, and then I'm headbutting this guy and shit. And then, like, but at the end of the day, you know, you're like, yeah, that guy is a pretty successful comic. And you're like, you can't disagree with the results.
No, man, it's working.
So that's why I don't know where this goes, though, because now I'm worried if my Instagram goes away, I'm not going to be successful anymore. And then I'm just a fucking weirdo that headbutts and kisses
people. I don't know. I feel like luckily you have made enough inroads in the short time where Instagram was working for you that, like, the name's out there. The relationship with The Rock is a known thing. Your YouTube's
how cool
enough,
was that for y'all? That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
You know, it's a funny. Four podcasts since y'all have tried to do the same thing.
Really?
Y'all did. Every one of them almost copy and paste is what y'all did, and I'm just like, you fucking hacks. Let them have their
I'm
thing.
Happy I got in. I was like, I tweeted out. I was like, I'm gonna tag him because, like, hopefully he sees it, and who knows.
Yeah.
And then you wrote back to you, and then I really got desperate.
When
I replied, I made it so desperate on purpose. Because
I
was
like, so what do you think of me?
Yeah, yeah. If I was subtly just trying to be like, yeah, man, like whatever, you know. Like, I think that would almost be worse than if me just being like, what about me, Rock? What about me, Rock? What do you think? But that was very cool of him. He's definitely like...
Dude, what if y'all get him on the podcast? That'd be fucking sick, huh?
Brother, that's probably
I was talking to him today. I'll let him know.
I mean, you know, there's probably a 0% chance, but
I don't know. You know what? Do you know what? Now, let me say something. I hate you guys, but I love you guys. I hate y'all because y'all put up a clip and tagged a guy that is going to change my life with things we have going on. You tag this guy in a clip of me saying, I'm going to suck his dick. No one quality controlled that? Who's the main person? Erica? Erica didn't say anything? You guys didn't send it off to anyone?
There's not much QC going on here, bro.
I saw that because I didn't even know what was going on. My buddies were in town. We were in Austin. And my buddy from Boston, Jarrett, from Christoph Cigars, so we're listening to it because he's a big fan of you guys. I'm like, how cool is this? Because y'all gave me a great introduction as well. You guys like, don't skip this podcast. Yeah. This guy was great. And I was like, fuck yeah. Because I was nervous when I came on at first because I didn't know if you guys were going to like me. Because I was like, I don't know if they're going to like me or not. No. So then that happens. Then I put the clip up. And then Jordan texted me like, yo, that's so cool that the Rock thing was clutch. And I was like, all right, whatever. And I go on Twitter and I see that. And then I see the Rock comment back. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, what clip is this? And then I'm like, yeah, I was almost going to suck his dick. And I'm like, guys. But then at the same
time,
be cool,
guys. Be cool. But it worked.
It makes me love him because I'm like, bro, he responded back to that.
That's what I mean. Like, he's a cool cat.
He's a cool dude. Yeah. That's what I don't know what's going to happen when me and him, like, hang out. I'm so fucking excited because I'm just, I feel like he's just a real chill dude who happens to be mega famous.
Yeah, it seems impossible that you could be.
What if he makes, like, real, like, fucked up jokes? Like, what if he does, like, a bunch of, like, fucking rape jokes, you know? Like,
how awesome would that be?
It would be amazing. It would be amazing.
I love that.
You know?
Like, to know that, to be, like, that would actually, the problem would be I would want to tell, like, everybody.
Yeah.
Be like, you know what The Rock does? He tells rape jokes all day long.
It's like with the guy at Alabama when he said Nick Saban does these nuts jokes.
Yes.
And Nick Saban was like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Like, let's
this is not the Alabama way, dude.
Right. I mean, you can't violate that, like, circle of trust with a guy like that. But at the same time, he does seem like he's just a cool dude who happened to amass 200 million followers or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that way a little bit about Joe Rogan, too. Like, I've seen him post a couple times. What I really like about him is a couple Instagram posts that said, like, I am keenly aware that my popularity is disproportionate to who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a successful comic. I think I'm a good podcaster. But the fact that I became this is fucking crazy. But he knows that.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you own that, and it's like, well, yeah, all right. I mean, as long as you're aware that, like, this is all pretty fucking crazy and how does this
As long as
happen,
you don't start drinking the juice, man.
Right. He's a confident dude and, like, speaks his opinions, but he's not, like, cocky and arrogant.
But he's also like your uncle, you know what I'm saying? Like, he posts on Instagram. Joe Rogan posts on Instagram like a fucking 52-year-old woman. Like, he's posting a picture of the moon. And he's like, you're like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, what, dude, you have,
right.
Do you know what I could do with your page?
Right.
Do you know what I could do?
Give me those numbers,
give
man.
Me those. I could be making 10 million a year
Seriously.
Off ads.
Right.
You were posting a shitty picture of the moon.
Picture of the fucking elk meat. Like, God damn it, Joe. But, like, that's why it works, too, though. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Because he is that guy on
that's
and
what
off
you learn.
Camera. And, you know,
people
like,
appreciate, that's how people love the podcast. Like, they love y'all's podcast. They love Barstool in general because it just seems authentic.
Yes.
They like, that's like
very
my
real.
My most liked shit is me talking about, like, Waffle House.
Yes.
Because people just, they're like that. Like,
I like Waffle
know,
House, too.
They're like, they go, this dude, like, legitimately loves, like, Waffle House. Like, someone told me one time, they commented and they go, this guy's obviously faking his accent. And I was like, dude, you're obviously new here. I mean, you have to go back and look at the tweets. I mean, there's no way I could know so much about the Southern culture.
Right.
Like, I'm not Keith Urban.
Yeah.
I'm not a fucking liar.
I mean, I get it all the time. Like, people are, I talk about the Mets all day long. Like, this guy doesn't even watch the Mets. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why people jump to that or yeah, you know, you're faking it or this story he told is not real or that joke's, it's like.
No.
If I was making, like, if you were, if this was all an act, give him the fucking Oscar.
I'm murdering it, dude. I'm murdering.
Like, it's way harder to fake this
Do you know
shit.
The comment that makes me laugh so much, though? It's on y'all's fucking page. When y'all post a picture of, you know, post a meme or whatever, or someone falls off a truck, and then someone comments, goes, oh, great sports content. It happens every time.
Every fucking time.
Because I've noticed, I've done this for a while. This is a tip comics should do. I'll comment on y'all's Instagrams, and because I'll put, like, a funny comment. and then like, because I'm verified, it goes to the top of the list, and then like I can
hijack
like,
the post,
you know, 5-10,000 likes, and it like really influences back to my page. Absolutely. Same thing with The Rock, dude. The Rock's page, when I comment, it is wild. It is fucking, it's insane.
It's like you get your own account kind of for that moment. It's like,
just
now
get this... people clicking on it, you know. That's it's
The sports one is like...
The sports one's the best.
And what's funny is, I mean, if you've been following our history forever, it's always been this way. We've always talked about pop culture and
you're not
and
ESPN,
reality.
you know,
or like, or, you know, Dave used to do, he used to dress up as fucking Adam Lambert from American Idol, who was like this, you know, flamboyant singer with makeup and shit, and he loved him. And he loved American Idol, and it's like, you know, people would be like, oh, you know, Dave would never do this. It's like, Dave fucking invented this shit. We've been doing this forever. We haven't changed. We've been the
You're
same
an entertainment company.
Yeah.
You just, but you happen to be just regular dudes that always goes back to sports.
Right.
And it's like, that's my thing with me. People get mad at me when I've talked about sports in the past. They go, what are you talking about this for? Or why are you supporting this? They kneel. Oh, I'm like, God. My mom was cracking me up with that, and people go, like, I haven't watched the NFL since I started kneeling. I'm like, well, you missed a bunch of good shit. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Like,
you fucking idiot.
Good for you, I guess.
I don't give it. Roger Goodell could stab my nieces and nephews in the heart, and I would not miss a fucking NFL red zone. I don't care, dude. Why do you care?
What are you
proving? Why do you think anyone cares about anything? No one cares about you. I don't care about your family. I want to watch football. And football, Alabama, Nick Saban, tell me what can he do that would ruin him?
Oh, my God.
He could do nothing.
Yeah.
And I mean nothing.
No,
Does he want this little brown hole in his face? He can have whatever he wants. He's amazing. I love him.
Yeah.
So he could, because by the way, I've heard he's a huge asshole.
Sure
he is. I tried to meet him at mascot camp one time, and he wouldn't fucking meet me.
At mascot camp?
Yeah, 2-time All-American, 2-time mascot of the year.
My man.
Yeah, dude.
As
Rocky
what?
The Panther. My school renamed the mascot after I left because I broke so many records. They renamed the mascot Rocky the Panther.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I swear to God. No, why does everybody not believe this? I had the fucking...
What it used to be?
What? It used to be the fucking Brookwood Panther for the 0-6 high school every year because we're racist and we're all white and we are, that's what we're doing every year. We got one, Damon Ditt came in one year, murdered and killed it. Tevin Davis murdered. And the rest of it, it's a bunch of Jacobs and Joshes throwing, doing triple options. We're going to go fullback run 4 times. We're great at punting.
I'm sure. Punt game's great. Special team's great.
No, we suck at football. We've always been bad.
You were legit the Panther.
So I was the mascot 2 years, and then the thing happened of where I hit puberty and I got big as fuck. And then I was a wrestler and a mascot, and I would go to mascot camp, and I would be like, "What's up, ladies?" Because all their boyfriends were gone. They're not allowed to come in. And then I'm like,
So you're at camp with all these chicks.
Yeah.
Just cleaning up.
Cleaning up. High school chicks,
that's
dude.
That's so
the
fucking
the best chick. Not anymore.
At the time.
Guys, listen to my podcast. Congratulations, okay? Inside hits, guys. Don't matter because I don't know them, all right?
I can say that now.
Yeah.
So you go to mascot camp. And they're doing, like, what, cheerleading and shit and other mascot things? And it's mostly chicks, and you're just cleaning
basically
up.
Dude, mascot camp is essentially for people with Down syndrome. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, like, the cheerleaders, they're over there flipping and shit and, you know, putting their fingers in each other's parts. But for, like, mascots, we just go in the side, and they kind of just like, all right, guys, what's up? You know,
yeah,
you gotta just talk to us. Because you can't really, look, you can learn how to be a podcaster. You can learn how to be a comedian. You can't learn how to mascot. It's something you're born with. And
you either
why
got
are you
it
laughing, dude? Why are you laughing? That's so disrespectful. But for real, like, show fucking respect.
You either
respect,
got
dude.
It or you don't, man.
An hour of 15 in traffic to get laughed at, dude. That's fucked up, bro. So you're born with it. And so for me, I just naturally, the way I moved in the mascot suit was almost like water. Like it was, bro. Why are you laughing, dude?
Nah,
show respect for real.
Just
I had a lot in my mind. Up. So, I would move, and, like, I knew how to interact with people, and I knew how to do things properly, and so I went to UCA camp 2 years. I was an All-American both years. I was the mascot at the LSU-Penn State game in Orlando, Florida. I was the leader of my pack. I had 2 scholarship offers from LSU and Alabama to be a mascot, and I was the 2-time UCA mascot of the year, which has never been done before.
Where did you end up going?
Nowhere, because they require SAT scores,
and that was
I think I had a 16 and a 17, took it twice, so that's kind of, you know,
16,
16 and 17. I took it. I like it. So AC was ACT.
Oh, yeah, ACT is out of like 32 or whatever.
Yeah,
SATs
yeah.
are out of like 1600. Wow,
yeah, yeah. I took that too, but so, I don't know right, that, right. that one was real bad.
So 16 is not a good score on.
I guess
around here,
I think it's good.
ACT.
I think that's what life needs to be more about, though. Like I think a 16 is good.
Yeah.
So why is it not good?
It's all subjective.
You know, it's like people that go
opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
and even with those water moving like water, you couldn't get in.
No, I mean, I was a phenomenal mascot, man. I mean, no one ever, I don't mean to brag on myself here, but no one ever on the field, I took over a game. Like my team was losing. We're down by 32 points. Mm-hmm. Why are you fucking grinning, dude? Why are you grinning? Show fucking
eye.
Respect.
It's just
my
so
team
amazing.
Was down by 32 points, mm-hmm. and people in that town, I mean, they're old, they're fucking white, so they're just fat, and they're just their life sucks, and they looked for some kind of enjoyment, and their team is getting the fuck beat out of them. And when that game, I don't mean to get emotional, I'm sorry. When that halftime starts, and you see me and the band come out, and it's a bunch of white people, so obviously not very good, and you see me come out, and I'm fucking flipping across that field, that is what I want to say changed my town, because we went through a bunch of traumatic things, and I brought us together as people. And I'm very proud of that. And, you know, Rocky the Panther, I used to say, come get this wildcat, you know? And that's what matters. So, yeah.
You want to pause for a minute and compose yourself?
Sorry. I didn't know we were going to get emotional on here.
I didn't know that was going to happen either. You know?
Sorry.
It's about, though. Just people helping people, you know?
Fuck, man, I'm sorry, dude.
But you're like,
it's just, we've been through a lot in our town. We dealt with desegregation. Mm.
the whole time I was wondering what he's gonna say. The whole I'm gonna need a moment to compose myself. Yeah. Take five.
Oh, dude.
It's funny because it's true. It's funny because it's true.
Bro.
I bet that
ever, this is what comedy's like. Comedy, I never played baseball, but it's like, imagine if you could see, like, they say a baseball player could see the fucking stripes on a ball.
Yep, yep.
And you're like, this is about to be a home run.
Yep.
I was like, please ask me what happened with my town. Please. I beg you. Ask me what happened with my town.
You got a little teary-eyed there. You got the acting shots,
I can
huh?
cry on contact.
That's
I can cry.
That's fucking impressive. That's pretty valuable. Do you use that at all?
I do, because I can cry, because I've always been able to cry on contact because of, like, being molested when I was younger. I can just channel that
just
back.
Just think of it.
I swear to God, it just goes every time, man.
Yeah.
And it's always been. I did it on my podcast the other day. My buddy Tony didn't know I could do it, and I started just crying mid-podcast. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? My girlfriend hates it because you can never tell what's going on.
If it's real or not?
Yeah. So I'd be crying.
Dude.
I remember one time I cried on her. I was crying about something. And she was like, what's wrong? I'm like, your pussy just smells so bad. I was like, it just stinks so bad today. She's
funny. Do you like use that in your act at all? Or in videos or content? Because it is a skill.
No,
if
man.
I could cry, I'd be writing skits and shit.
But
and,
I also like, cry. Nah, like I cry easy though too. Like I
for
cry.
Real,
yeah, like yeah. Dude, me and what's the guy that got fired here?
Francis.
No, by the way, I was really good friends with three people here. Francis, YP and Sean Latham. I was friends with all three of them.
You're the fucking kiss of death.
Yeah. You better watch out, bitch. Me and you've been talking on Twitter. Better watch your back, dude.
Just say this whole operation's fucked. Yeah.
But YP, which I'm at one day because y'all had posted when, dude, the shit that gets me is a stepdaughter asking or a girl asking her stepdad to be her dad. And I'll cry
Waterworks.
Every time.
Yep.
Twice on. I do when I watch The Fast and the Furious with Paul Walker. Mm-hmm. I cry every time.
Mm-hmm.
I cry every. That shit gets me. So I can't do it, dude. Like I cried a little bit at the beginning of that Winnie the Pooh Bear movie. Like at the first part of it, the music and shit, and he's like a little like you know Down syndrome bear and shit. Like it's like
no pants on.
Yeah,
shirt.
You're like just cry, man. Pants.
I would have been crying if I were you looking for a parking spot.
Oh no, that's where that's I get into the you know school shooter Columbine fucking place. It
those eyes.
It makes me. I don't get this fucking city. I just don't. And I like the comedy here, and the people get mad at me for saying this, but like Joe's Pizza isn't that good. Like, well, Domino's is phenomenal.
Now, I don't get bent out of shape about the pizza. Domino's cheesy bread.
Domino's
top five food
twist.
In the world. Cinnamon yeah. twist. I don't know about the pizza. I do. People get bent out of shape about the pizza talk, but the pizza is best here.
Just, I'm going to Rhode Island this weekend. My buddy from Boston mm-hmm. is taking me. I'm doing shows in Rhode Island, and he told me that I'm going to have it because I hate Italian food in general, and I hate most Italians. And so, yeah. what? Like, am I going to be blown away, or am I going to be like, ugh, Olive Garden? Chicken Alfredo is bomb.
I like Alfredo. I like. I don't really care for marinara sauce.
Yeah,
that's on. You know, they love their tomato sauce. I'm like, I don't know. It just tastes like fucking meatballs to me. Like,
yeah.
Some of it's good. Some of it's
vegetables. You know? Like, great. What are we doing here,
it's
bro?
Like, you smashed up. Honestly, everyone's no-no and Nana and whoever the fuck else has the special recipe, and it's just tomatoes smashed up with like some salt and pepper.
That's why I love. That's why I love. We talked about this last time, but like, I love what America does with everything. Because everybody's like, nah, it's not like traditional. Like, America, like, pizza has, like, a bunch of, like, sugar, or not sugar, like, salt and shit, and we just throw a bunch of extra stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's what makes it great.
That's
like,
why it tastes good.
We took your lame-ass shit, and we did it a lot better than y'all
did. We remixed it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's why we're fucking, you know, bomb. America.
Dude, I had good McDonald's the other day again, for I haven't had it in a while. Mm-hmm. Good, fresh McDonald's, Mexican lady.
Yo, when people don't realize that, like, McDonald's to McDonald's matters. Like, certain, it changes. It's generally the same thing, but sometimes the buns are stale. Sometimes those fries aren't as crispy. Sometimes, and when you get a good one that's made right,
dude.
What's your top five fast food?
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm in a weird predicament in my life because I don't drink soda anymore. I stopped about 10 days ago. I want to look slim on here.
That's the most heroic thing I've ever done in my life.
I would lick your asshole right now if you told me I could drink a soda and never have the calories from it again.
I am so addicted to soda.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I guzzle it.
Guzzle it.
And like if you give me a pizza or like a nice sandwich or a juicy burger and I don't have a Coke,
it ruins
it. I'm like,
it ruins.
Fucking throw it out. I don't even want it.
People that don't drink soda.
You're supposed to drink water with it?
No, that's what I've been doing. I've been literally, thankfully, getting on alcohol a lot more, and alcohol's totally fine for you.
That doesn't cause any problems.
Yeah.
What about like Coke Zero?
Yeah, I mean, dude,
it's not the same, but it's close.
Okay. Okay.
It's not pure heroin, but it's like, you know,
No, it's not even fucking close.
There's a new glass bottle Coke. It's called like Coke. What's Clem got a fucking early taste of it? It's called like
Clem,
Coke.
That's Clem getting exclusive shit from the Coke Factory.
He's got that hookup.
What is Clem, John Chris? What the fuck's going on?
It's called like Coke New or Coke.
Do you ever wish you were clean, like a clean person? Not like in like, I mean like not like physically, like with your act, you were clean so you could get sponsorships these clean people get?
Yes.
Like I look at like John Crist and like Nate Bargatze and like they get all these like nice hookups.
Nate is still the funniest motherfucker in the world. Like if you're clean and
he's my favorite comic.
Yeah, it's like I would never say like Nate Bargatze's a clean comic. He's just a fucking hilarious comic who doesn't happen to curse or talk about sex or whatever, because that, like, it's one thing if you try, if you, like, I'm going to make this clean because I want to make money, versus,
exactly.
like, Nate was like, I just was raised in a way where we, like, didn't talk like that, and I didn't, like,
right.
you know, I don't find that funny, so I'm like, cool. When you're, like, you know, doing it on purpose, that's where I get annoyed by it. Or, I always heard that Seinfeld's like, if you have to curse to make it funny, then it's not funny. I'm like, no. That's a word just like any other word.
He sounds like a little bitch right there.
like if I say fuck at the right time and that makes people laugh, that's the same thing as any other punchline where you pick the right word to make people laugh. So fuck that. But yes, I do also wish that like...
Also,
you know,
hey, Seinfeld, hey, how about if you have to make your jokes go, oh, no, no, no,
yeah, that's
to make
just
them funny.
Gimmicky, yeah.
You're talking about
what
goddamn
about
macaroni
da, da, da,
boxes,
da, da, da,
you nerd.
Like, yeah, just
shut up.
Fucking...
Mark Norman.
Wait, what do you even know about comedy, Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
What are you fucking...
Jerry Seinfeld sucks a dick. I don't like him at all, dude. I never liked him.
That's got to be some cultural shit, too.
No,
right? You guys are not going to like a... Like
why
a
would I like him?
Up there.
Because he says shit like that is dumb. And he like, you know, it's like, bro, you are the first Pokemon in the evolution. And now we are to Charizard, which is like Mark Norman.
You think
that
Seinfeld couldn't hang today?
No. He's fucking lame, dude. Seinfeld would get booed off stage. I mean, I'm just fucking, at this point, I'm just we're,
commit to the
I don't
dive
give a
the
fuck.
Club.
I live in Austin. He would never go there because the private jets don't land at that side of town. Fucking nerd. No, it's like he's annoying. Yeah. He's fucking, he bitches about so much to me.
Who's your like inspiration? Who are your guys?
Nate Bargatze.
Nate, yeah.
Now, I you could say I steal from Nate almost because we're from the same place pretty much. He's 2 hours in Tennessee. I'm in Alabama. He's in Tennessee, and so I tell stories. He tells stories. He's phenomenally better than me, but when I slow down or when I pause, I sound like
Nate. You sound so much like him.
And so then I try to get away from it. And then if I tell a story, a crazy story, somebody goes, well, you're Theo Vaughn, you're stealing from Theo. I'm like,
Then if I'm too country,
I'm Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah. And then if I do a black crowd, I'm Gary Owen. And I'm like, oh, I'm just Rocky, motherfucker.
Honestly, I can understand why that's annoying, but also those are four guys not too bad to be compared to.
No, especially not. Larry's a billionaire.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you want to tell me that I'm a mix of Larry, Nate, fucking Gary, and Theo.
But they say, you're still. That's the thing.
And that's annoying.
Because, I think when people think my stories aren't real. Mm-hmm. Like the penguin, I took an edible with Ralphie May. I went to the Columbus, Ohio Zoo, and a penguin humped my leg. Mm-hmm. And it was like the whole experience. I tell the story, they go, that's not real. I'm like, yeah, it is. And I showed a video of it. And then on my farm in Alabama, we used to have a pig and a horse. They were two dudes, and they were gay as hell. Mm-hmm. And they would fuck each other. But the pig would fuck the horse. But he would like try to hop on its back a lot. Like so the horse would lay down on its side, the pig would hop on and then roll down the hill a lot of times. We lived on a hill, which is better for seeding and stuff, for like the cucumbers
naturally.
And tomatoes.
Yes.
And I tell that and people are like, that's fake. I'm like, no, it's not, motherfucker. Like it's real. Like it's
Feidelberg gets that a lot where people don't believe his stories and then every now and then, like he was telling a story once.
Well, it's because he thinks his hair is blonde. That's
why. Yeah, I mean, because he's a fucking idiot.
He's a fucking idiot.
I mean,
he's
walking around with
I mean, I love him if he comes
hair.
In here right now, but like, I mean, no, he's not here.
Tell
so
right
fuck
to his
him.
Fucking
yeah.
stupid face. But he told some story about like he was at a party, something silly happened, people like that's fake. And then one of the other people who was at the party, like a fan, it was dating a fan of ours. So it's kind of a convoluted story, but long story short. Someone who had heard that story thought it was fake and then heard someone else tell the same story and he went, so wait a minute, Feidelberg's stories are true. Huh?
Yeah.
Because once you corroborate one story, all of a sudden people are like, wait a second.
What the fuck?
These are all real. Yeah. And then it's like, I mean, again, coming up with stories like this is harder. Like, then I'm a comedic genius.
Yeah.
If I'm fabricating these stories.
Well, people think I'm a character. Like, people think this is, like, all like a character.
Do you think do you think people from New York think that? Like, do you think people from your area believe you? And then
people
from
New York
think
they're on shrooms.
Yeah.
Like, this is not even real. I don't know. I
think that might be it, though. Because, like, people from your lifestyle would be like, no, that's a real story. Pigs and horses. Yeah, they fuck. Whatever.
Yeah, well, that's
and
what
then
sucks.
Someone like me, it's like, nah, that can't be real. But I'll tell you a story about like a homeless guy, you know, fucking jerking off on the subway, and you'd be like, "Is that real?" You know?
Yeah.
We live in different countries, man.
Yeah,
we really do.
That's what I'm saying.
We live
and
in different
I think
countries.
That the South should rise again.
Well,
not
yeah,
for slavery
I think you guys we should
time.
Definitely chop your
not
like,
for slavery.
We should build a wall, is what we should do.
I'm cool with that.
Yes. Mason Dixon line. See you fucking later.
Y'all do not have enough fast food restaurants off the side of your highways either. And y'all are, like, real weird about this highway shit.
Well.
Y'all have, like, a McDonald's. Y'all have a couple Sbarro's, which is, like, fucking lame.
Trash. That's
and
trash.
Y'all got a couple hot dog places. It's like, where's the Burger King? Where's Taco
Burger
Bell?
King
where's Chick-fil-A's?
For poor people.
What?
Burger King is for poor people.
Okay. So,
so you
I mean,
can have those.
I mean, I spent an hour and 15 minutes to come in here and get to insult it. This doesn't
Burger
make
King
sense
Burger King is inferior to all other fast food.
No, it's not.
What's your list? You didn't give me a list. Give me a
my list.
My list
is fuck you. No.
fuck
number
you,
one.
Suck my are, dick. Now, drop dead.
Are we going locate? Like, you, this is such a hard thing to do because are
you
going to
really
go
are stupid,
nationwide?
Huh? You really are dumb.
You, I mean, an hour and 15 minutes, dude. An hour and 15 minutes. I mean, good Lord. I could have just fucking swiped on Tinder and got on Call Her Daddy, but I fucking came here. All I had to do.
You should have done that if you could have, brother. It goes wrong, man.
I asked my girlfriend one time. I go, "Would you be mad if I got on Call Her Daddy?" And she goes, "Yeah, I would be fucking furious."
Oh,
she I'm, goes.
I mean,
she,
any I, girl who says otherwise is lying. No, honey, it's cool. You could do it the second you're on there. She'd be. Furious.
Yeah, do you know what's crazy though about those girls? And this is. We'll get back to
that. They make $60 million.
No. That they're. That how short they are. They're really tiny, by the way, which was shocking. So I saw one of them. I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, you were the green girl at fucking The Last Rough and Rowdy, you know? Like, what the shit? Wow, Sophia, I didn't know you were back in the game, you know? But no, the one that's doing it now, it's cool. It's wild because in Brookwood, I saw one of my friends wearing a Call of Daddy shirt.
Wow.
And I was like, you've reached Brookwood, Alabama.
Man, that's crazy. 1,800
people.
Nuts.
You know,
the merch
and then
is like,
they never bought my t-shirts. And I was like, fuck
that's,
me.
That's not support, man. Those are not real friends.
That's what I got. I got to change it up. I got to start doing a podcast more about, like, because my anal bit did go viral about the butthole stuff. So I need to change that. But like I said, fast food restaurants. If we're gonna go nationwide, like, I think number one, and this not being exact, number one is McDonald's. I think McDonald's is a number one for sure.
It's a reason why it's McDonald's. It's McDonald's.
I think Cane's Chicken Fingers is a solid
two. I
don't
know that one.
That's the same though, because it's culture. So like, you don't know which, like, I'm culture.
That's Florida, like hurricanes. No, did I make that up? No.
What the fuck was that? No,
I thought it was like
you
Canes,
just say,
like,
hey, let's name it after a natural disaster, dude. Come into Katrina's hot dogs next week. We will fucking guzzle down your throat. No, it's a chicken restaurant. It's like a Guthrie's or a Zaxby's. You know what Zaxby's is?
Any of these fucking names you're saying, Guthrie's,
okay.
Zaxby's.
I'm sorry,
like, motherfucker. Taco Bell.
The diner on 6th is fucking
Taco
great.
Taco Bell,
bro. Taco Bell fries are phenomenal. But Del Taco.
You are just
Del Taco's
trash.
Del Taco's better than Taco Bell, though. Del Taco's phenomenal.
Del Taco's not really fast food, though, right?
No, it's very fast food.
I wouldn't know, but I thought that was more like Shake Shack-ish, like where it's like
Shake Shack is high quality.
That's what I mean. It's
Shake
not
Shack
fast
is like
food,
Shake
know?
Shack is like something nice
something
happens
else.
In
there's
your life.
It's
like somebody like
that's a graduation. That's when you get old to get through school.
I haven't been there. I don't know, dude. Dude, when I this is a story. My senior class thought I was retarded.
So
I swear to God, dude. I won Homecoming King. Right.
Oh, wow.
So
you were the mascot.
So I was the mascot, most popular guy in the school.
Right.
And there was two other guys with me, and they were two hillbillies. And so I won. And then when I won, the guy goes, we're so proud of Rocky for all he's overcame to get here. And I was I had asthma's not that bad, you know? And then I look back at all the people that won Homecoming King in my high school. It was one or two people. It was like the popular kid, drove like a Jeep, had the nice house.
Quarterback,
all that shit. And then like the second type was like had his own table at lunch, gave a bunch of hugs in the hallways. And then I look back when I won the one year, and I never had a Jeep, and I had my own table at lunch. They told me I could take as much time as I want. And I was like, bro, these motherfuckers thought I was retarded, dude. And I look back at my high school picture, I look just like Shane Gillis, I swear to God. I look like Shane Gillis in high school, I swear to fucking God. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. Because the year after me, the guy that won, you know?
They go every other.
Yeah, it's like, look.
Man, Shane just dropped his special on YouTube.
Shane's special was real good, man.
Fucking funny. He has a bit talking about how he looks like he got down.
It's all bit, and then he does the face. You're like, oh, yeah, like, this is worse than mine. Yeah, where you're like, I don't even want to laugh at this, dude. That's what I always said. I go. I'm good looking if you don't look at me too long. I was like, if you see me in passing, you're like, is that Channing Tatum? And then, but if you stare at me, you're like, there's a little bit of downs in there, you know. That's what I always said. I'm Channing Tatum.
Listen, that's not bad though. Like somebody called me Tom Brady's younger brother with Down syndrome, and I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah,
I'll fucking take it. But it's better than 90% of the country.
What sucks though is like I saw a video. The video I showed the other day of Feidelberg when Feidelberg like 4 years ago. Feidelberg like was like a little stud.
Feidelberg's aging like a president.
Oh, bro. He looks like Obama. I mean, he is. It is awful.
We got to do one of those more faces for just the past like couple years.
So, I got a question. So, I guess at Barstool, y'all must be like under contract or something, because I think for whatever happens to Feidelberg, he injects it into fucking Dave. Because I saw a video of Dave when he was like fucking first starting the company. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it looked rough. I mean,
bro, he was unspeakably ugly.
And then now, the motherfucker looks phenomenal.
That's why, there's no such thing as ugly and good looking.
Yeah.
Rich and poor.
Look at this shit. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
All my
you can
teeth.
Buy
and
your
I'm
looks.
Going back and getting these fixed in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be fucking great.
Hell yeah.
If I can fix my beard and make it grow in better and then get the love handle sucked out.
You do it all.
Yeah.
Do it all, and then you get nicer clothes, you get nicer this, you get nicer that, and everyone thinks you're hot. Dave used to cut his own hair, because he can do it better than the barber, right? And it looked like someone who cut his own hair. He looked awful. He had
chunks missing and like this, you know,
a good haircut could change your day though. Like you're like even your hair, man. Like you can tell it's been cut well because of the way it grows. It looks
right?
nice.
I would never grab a pair of like scissors at home and be like, I can do this. He said he would just look in the mirror and shit.
Dude, my mom used to cut my hair with a cigarette in her mouth. I swear to God. So this bitch, Ann Taylor, she's the fucking worst. And so she'd sit there. I'd be like, Mama, need my hair cut. So we'd cut it before I go to school. She'd be sitting there. So like, and like a rope with a titty, you know, dangling out every now and then. And then with a cigarette in her fucking mouth. I remember multiple times she dropped her fucking cigarette like on my hair. And I swear to God. And then I would move and she'd like, she'd fucking slap me and shit. And she would, I look back at my haircuts and they look so bad. And I was like, Mom, it's almost like you wanted me to stay a virgin the
right.
entire
it's like
time.
You didn't want me to have any friends. You wanted me to be at the table alone at lunch.
That must be the benefit of growing up in like a city or somewhere. It's like, because where I grew up, we had sports clips. And like sports clips was like, if you're going like, if some shit's happening.
That's some bougie
and
shit.
And so,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
prom
yeah.
or something,
yeah,
you know?
Right, right.
And then you go to, like, a place, like here. Like, I went to the guy here in New York. The guy wouldn't even look and cut my hair beautifully, you know? And it's, like, it's so crazy. You go up in a small town, like, your mom cuts your hair. And then you're a kid, so you think your mom's is, like
you
I always
do
said.
Do everything, right? Like, my, she's a superhero.
You don't realize how bad of a cook your mom is until you travel.
Yes.
And it's, like, I've been everywhere now. My mom was an awful mom. I mean, she fucking could not cut hair. She didn't give me any good life lessons. She couldn't fucking cook. It is insane to me. Like, I'm like, I trusted you with my life,
yeah.
You bitch.
I looked up to you like you were a hero, and you suck at everything.
You could have put me in Hoover 30 minutes down the road. I could have played football and been in Alabama's team. I could have been murdering my wife and kids by now, and you fucking bitch, you kept me in this tiny school.
Oh, shit.
So that's what's crazy now is my mom is fucked. My mom's like zooming along. She's getting used to like the lifestyle,
yeah,
you know, and everything. And my mom is going to be a bad mom when this all happens. My mom's going to be fucking faked out and everything. She's going to have tons of plastic surgery. She already got her lips done. She got her lips done now, lips and tits, and she's going to get some forehead surgery done.
Your mom's going to be hot.
Come on now, dude. You don't mean that, bro.
I've never seen her. I got to see her, but she'll be hotter.
Mom, you know what sucks, man?
Would I hook up with your mom? Would I go on a date with your mom?
But you'd hook up with my mom before the surgery. Mm. My mom would be out of your league before the surgery. My mom, man. My mom is like really attractive. Like, and it's not even like being like she's a very pretty woman. She's gotten older.
Over here, we're in the fucking.
She like my mom resembles like Brandy Love a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking joking. I just want to see your eyes.
I would.
You weird motherfucker. Stop doing that. We're friends, dude. You better not fuck my mom, man. You better not,
out of
dude.
Out of respect for you, I won't, but I could.
Dude.
I
know you couldn't.
You don't think so?
Dude, we'll FaceTime mom right now and we'll ask her. Do you want to FaceTime mom?
Sure.
Okay, cool. This is fucking, I'm going to ask her. She has, do y'all post a bunch of left-leaning stuff? Because she'll call you a queer on the phone if you do.
Yeah. I'm going to tell her I voted for Biden.
Yeah, just
see what she says.
Oh, please don't do that. This is going to get me all the way canceled. All right. Dude, you better not fuck with mom. All right, cool. This is going to be good.
What's her name?
Ann. Let's see. 3 o'clock. She shouldn't be up for work, should she? Is she up for work yet? She may not be up. Hey. Hey, what's up?
Check out his leg.
I see him.
Oh, how cute. Oh, my God. Look at those chunky rolls. How cute.
That she hates me so much. Hey, do you find my friend Kevin attractive?
Like,
that's he's my
me.
Buddy
Hi,
right
nice
here.
Nice to meet you. We're doing an interview. Would you go on a date with me?
That ain't even right, son.
Mom? That's a no, man. That's a no. She would have just been like, yeah.
I don't go out with anybody.
Hey, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. We're on Barstool right now. We're at Barstool Sports. You're on a podcast.
Oh, no.
No, not your face. Don't worry. It's okay. But just, I just needed you to tell him. So you just, no date for now?
No date.
Damn.
I love you.
Damn it.
My mom said, fuck you,
bro,
dude.
When the baby was on there, I was like, I'm fucked.
That's her kid, too.
No.
No, it'd be crazy.
I was like, what? I would have been like, you guys are really wild down there, man.
Well, no, that's my sister's fourth kid. My sister's 22. Well, I mean, when we're
FaceTiming a mom and we're busting balls about could I have sex with her, all of a sudden there's a little baby in the fucking thing. It's like, well, this bit's ruined. I can't commit to this joke. Now I'm like, oh, look how cute the chunky legs are. What the fuck am I, you know?
Yeah, she's, did you say something right now, though? That would be her thing, because she goes to work and tells all of her friends about shit. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be like, you know Barstool Sports?
I was on Barstool.
What's that boy's name? Because she has an S. She goes, KFCs? I told KFCs.
I love that. People do that all the time. Barstools. Everything's Barstools. Yeah. Like Barstools?
KFC. I told KFCs he can't get it. Maybe later can, you know? She told me she would fuck The Rock, which made me mad, you know? But I can't.
I posed this question, and maybe you'd be good to answer it. This is going to sound stupid, but give it some thought. Because I know he's super wealthy, super charismatic, a gentleman, funny, and, you know, big. So, yes, I know women like him, right?
Right.
But is he viewed as, like, a sex icon the way that, like, another actor would be? I don't think he is. I don't think women, like, see him, like Brad Pitt, you know what I mean? Like, I think women get, like, wet over Brad Pitt. And with The Rock, they would certainly probably, you know, be with him. But I don't think they're, like, at home, you know, thinking of him at night when they're fucking...
I'll be honest with you, dude. You're not.
I know you do. I know you are.
No, dude. Like, thinking about it, like, I was gonna try to make a joke out of that, but there's nothing really. I think you're actually right.
Right.
Like, I think you're surprising. Like, when Brad Pitt and Troy. Like, dude.
Right. That's
put
like
it in my ass.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
And then,
The Rock is like, I'd like to have a conversation with you.
You would fuck
like,
everyone. Would fuck The Rock. No everyone
doubt.
Would fuck The Rock.
No doubt. But I don't think he's getting
but I don't
like,
feel
fantasized
like,
about.
Maybe because he doesn't do those necessarily those parts.
Yeah.
Also, he's so big, dude.
That's why I think I think women might almost be like, I don't know if I can handle that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Where it's like, he's not like, it's not just like, oh, Brad Pitt's got muscles. The Rock's like.
But Brad Pitt also like carried a persona. The same way like Matthew McConaughey like carries like a persona
mm-hmm.
of like, I'm sexy.
Right. I'm
and
the
Rock is
man.
Like, I'll break your fucking vagina.
Right.
Like, I'll break it.
Right.
But I'll put it back together because I'm a good
right.
guy.
Yes,
and I'll
yes,
start a charity.
A
I'll start a charity for your vagina.
Exactly.
And it'll be Sarah's vagina.
Right, right.
We'll raise
and I'll cook,
inner city
I'll cook
youth.
You an amazing dinner, and
yeah.
we'll have a phenomenal conversation. But like,
he's
I,
almost
I
like a good guy. And then Matthew McConaughey's like, I'm gonna come over. I'm gonna tear it up. I'm gonna leave.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That's a very. I've never thought about that before. That's such
it's,
a good point.
It's a strange because anybody who usually makes it to that level of fame and success and movie
and
star
be the
status,
fucking beautiful man.
Right.
But you don't see, he's never had that part where he's like, I'm the sexiest
Mm-mm.
fucking
Mm-mm.
guy.
Maybe that's next. Maybe he's going to prove us all
has
wrong.
Has he even
like,
really had a bunch of sex scenes? In Ballers he did.
Yeah.
But in Ballers he's like a coked up fucking
well, yeah,
pillhead.
Because if that guy is an athlete, I think he fucks a lot. But as an actor, I don't know. I mean, of course he fucks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, again, gets that status of like, I guess that is the comparison. Do you think girls go home and fucking fantasize about like, a lineman in the NFL. They'll fuck him, and they want the money and the lifestyle, and he's big.
Well, like
popular.
A Miles Garrett is like a different, you know.
Yeah.
You ever look at young Wilt Chamberlain? Young Wilt Chamberlain
well,
was
the reason why
hot.
He was putting up those
oh,
numbers,
dude.
Bro.
I was watching him and Kareem the other day.
If you could fuck like he could, would
yeah.
you? Would you want to fuck 30,000?
Dude, I don't
women?
Even like having sex.
Right? It's
me.
Like...
I don't even like
shit's
it.
It's overrated at this
dude,
point.
Dude, like, the
man.
New Madden is phenomenal, and so it's like... It's like, when you're having, like... Like, my girlfriend, like, she loves to have sex. And I'm just like, oh, like,
nice brag,
you know,
bro,
it's
nice
like,
brag.
No, it's not that great. Like, you know, because it's just like, you know, when you have sex, it's like you're having sex. And it's like, you have it, and then you have that post-nut clarity, which feels weird. And then you're like, what am I doing with my life?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with Madden, like, I play Madden, like, all the time. And I'm like, oh, Josh Allen can throw sidelines really well this year. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's a growing experience in my life, whereas I feel like sex downgrades me mentally. But like Madden upgrades me mentally.
Mm.
Like I learn more. You know, like I'm one of the best
You're
Madden players in the
anything
world.
From sex.
No, sex is just the same shit every time.
You think you're getting dumber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of
with every load,
you're slapping
you're losing
stuff.
Some intelligence.
You start choking. You know, at the end of that
yeah.
stuff, you start grabbing
God,
hair.
The things that you do, and then when you're done, you're like,
well, you think about look at that person too. You know, like I look at you know like people that have kids, and I'm like, that came. From you getting spit in your mouth,
mm-hmm.
and choking,
right.
calling you a
that
dirty
night,
whore.
That night, I left it in.
Child
and we did some things.
Is what came out of that anger,
right?
You know,
right.
Which is a weird
That's
thing
why
to think
those
about.
Those are the school shooters.
Like my girlfriend, like I don't know if like because like she's licked my ass before. Like I'm like, I don't know how, like, if you kiss my child, like I'm like, don't kiss my child. Like, you know.
You know when that mouth's been?
Like, don't,
in your dad's ass.
Yeah, so it's like, don't kiss her. Like, it's like, you know what you've done with that. So it's like, it's like a weird mental thing to go through of being like, you need to go to church.
I'm with you, man.
You know, but I'm with it for now, but I'm like, you were together. Like if you were just a random whore from, you know, the fucking Love's truck stop on extra 100, that's different than being the person in my life every day. And now you're doing all this stuff and I'm like, you
yeah,
know,
that's like, I think Tony Soprano used to get head from his guma. He's like, I can't put my dick in my wife's mouth. She kisses my children.
That's a... I never seen Sopranos.
Yeah, I actually haven't either, but I know that scene where he's like, I can't do that with a kid.
That makes a good point. That's what I feel like, you know, because oral sex is, I think, illegal in Alabama. I'm dead serious. I think it's illegal.
Unless it's with his sister or an animal.
See, hour 15 in traffic to come here and be insulted. I could have walked next door and I could have done, you know... I could have done lights, camera, action, the podcast for 45 people, but I came in here with you instead, and I did this with you, and this is the respect I fucking get.
Well, an hour and 15, man. That goes to show how much you want to be on my show. Hour and 15, you waited.
I drove from Providence through Connecticut. Do you know how bad that drive
gotta
sucks?
We got to make sure that you get some, like, some fucking ticket sales out of this shit, bro.
Connecticut sucks? Nothing is
like,
there.
I'll be honest. Next time, you should just tell me no.
Yeah.
Like, I'll catch you another time.
No, we'll do this on Zoom. That's the problem, though. I came here, and I was like, you know what? I was like, sure. Did I give them the Rock's validation? Sure. Did I do that? But I want to come back and do Kevin's show. Do I want to come on before all the famous people so my episode gets forgotten? Sure. Sure. Do I want to come on before Taylor Tomlinson is fucking on here, and she blows it up? She's like, I'm depressed, but I'm rich, you know? And then
so true.
It's like, you know, she's just one of the most famous comics in the world. And I'm like, girl.
I said to her, are you happy? And she was like, I guess.
I saw it.
You're selling out theaters everywhere you fucking go.
Dude, she would.
You better be happy.
She would come to the cellar. She'd murder a set and come off me like, it wasn't that good tonight. And I'm like, Taylor, you're fucking bitch. Killing it, you bitch. Shut up. You're killing it, dude.
You have fully named
also, your boyfriend's Sam. Yeah. And he's killing it. Shut up. But like I said, you fucking motherfucker, I came here and I waited an hour. I drove from Providence. I flew in last night, by the way. I flew in last night, got a rental car, drove as far as I could.
Wait, how long was it in traffic?
What?
How long was it in traffic?
In 6 hours to get here.
Right.
And then an hour and 15 once I got here to come in this office. And also, beer's been empty for about 15 fucking minutes.
No.
Now let's help out. That'd be great. Now let's fuck. We're at a gold watch and we're an intern around this motherfucker. Wow, dude. Didn't know where I was at Bleacher Report right now. Whoa, dude.
Hey now. Don't say things you regret, okay?
By the way, I had no idea. All I know is y'all's enemies. That's all I'm going to bring it up, okay? I mean, good Lord, this guy definitely ain't Rico, huh? Okay, so...
You're a fun time, brother.
I try my best, man. But like I said, you just look, dude, all I'm asking, I just want 10% of sales for the rest of y'all's life.
That's it. That's fair. You got it. The Rock tweets at you one time, you get 10% of everything
dude,
for the rest of your life.
That's what I'm saying. That's what's funny. If the Rock came at me, though, and won like 10%, I'd obviously say, yeah.
Bro, if The Rock comes at you and wants 90%, I think you got to be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What The Rock asked for.
Dude, what's
the Rock
my potential with this? Like, obviously, we know some shit we can't talk about, but
yeah.
It's like, what if I'm like in the, like Fast and Furious?
I don't want to say the sky.
Pull over!
Like, yeah, like, but the sky of, like, little wacky opportunities like that kind of is the limit. Where, like, The Rock might be like, yo, just hop in this movie real quick as, like, an extra. Or, like, I need you for a commercial for the Terramana tequila, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like, little things like that. Like, it's just good to be around people like that.
But think about it. Think about it like this, though. Taylor Tomlinson being famous makes sense. She's the hardest working person I've ever met in my life. She's very funny. She's got it all dialed in, right? It makes sense. Like, you know, but like with a guy like me, like you've known me a couple times now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this doesn't really change. This is who I am. And you can tell, like, once I leave this building, I'm gonna eat McDonald's. Like, I'm gonna drive past a Michelin star restaurant to go to McDonald's when I leave.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so when I get famous, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Mm.
Because I'm gonna have money And with my white trash side, like, I make, I literally
still
like,
do the same shit.
I'm
going to
buy
like.
Some people, yeah. You know? Like, not like that, but like, I'm going to like buy like some white people. Like, I don't need, I'm like, hey, dude, I'll give you $100,000 so you work for
well,
me.
What would be the, what's the first thing you're going to buy when you make it and whatever, however you qualify that?
Well, my mom, I told my mom, I told you about the idea of my mom. I wanted to surprise her with a car and stuff. Once my mom's taken care of, and like I get a couple people, like I want to kill one of my cousins.
I'll take care of her. Don't worry.
Yeah, dude, she doesn't fucking turn you down, bro.
She did. Fuck.
You better get in fucking shape.
I know.
Dude.
Seriously, that's I was a, like, what am I? What am I?
62-year-old woman. Good.
She said no, real.
She
quick.
Said no. Fast.
She didn't. No, not. She laughed first. She just
she
fucking
laughed.
She just
laughed.
I was like, oh, fuck. Would the baby do something cute and make you laugh? What you laughing?
If I would have showed her him and said, build that wall, build it. Rocky, did they get you, RD? Did they get you?
Blink if you need help. Blink if you need help.
I told my mom. I said, one time, I go, Mom, I'm like, you ever heard of Black Wall Street? She's like, oh, you want to get the Black Wall Street now? She had no idea what it was.
I told you,
I don't
man,
know,
country.
Dude. I got to get a koala bear. I don't know. I want to get
a koala bear. Koalas are hot in the streets, man.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, dude. Like, I got to get, like, a bunch of nice cars and stuff. But, like, I don't really want, like,
oh,
a
so
big...
you're going to be broke real quick.
But, like, a nice...
What I was
going like,
to say, honestly,
like a 2003
I don't think
Mazda.
I even want a fucking house.
Yeah?
I want, like, I'll get a nicer apartment, but I don't want a bunch of bedrooms and a lawn to upkeep and a this that breaks. And a, I want, like, a fucking... I live in a building where someone takes care of that shit for me. It's a little bit nicer.
I have a maid. I have a maid at my
need
house.
Need one of those.
Ooh.
I need a maid. I need a chef, and I need a masseuse.
A chef,
and maybe I can get
dude,
one that does
masseuse
all
is the best.
Yes,
man. A little.
Wake up in the morning, get like a
Filipino
full
man.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes,
have him come in. What's up, Razul?
Wait, a small Filipino man. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love women, but like you know,
I
rights are equal,
fucking...
but your fucking hands are not.
Right.
You know, like I want
this,
a little Filipino. No,
fuck.
I want you to dig in there. I love when they get close to your legs and they kind of like lifts your nuts a little bit too.
In between your nut and your leg.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dude. Mm-hmm. I have a maid now, and a maid is clutch.
Yeah.
She comes in once a month. She cleans up, just does everything, puts my little toilet paper in squares, little squares at the end of it, which is pretty sick.
I got Gladys. She comes once a month as well. And
Gladys
she,
White?
No. No.
Why is her name Gladys?
I don't know. What's her name? Fucking Gladys. She's a Spanish woman named Gladys.
Gladys.
Yeah. She cleans, bro, my kids come through and rip my shit to shreds, and I try to help out and, like, make sure it's not a total disaster, but it's a total disaster, and she comes through and cleans it all up like that, but she also puts things in places that just don't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And I respect that she's like, well, then I'm just putting this here and this here because you left me a mess, but also I'm like, why did you put, like, why is Alexa in the fucking fridge? Like, what's
yeah.
going on here? You know, what
it's
I mean?
Different because it's different cultures, man. They it's in some, I think, because this, I mean, my bitch, I love her to death, but that bitch, I mean, she mixes up stuff so bad, and I'm just she puts towels in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, I don't know. What
I guess
you
as
doing,
long as
you know?
It's just like looks clean, fine. But this doesn't make any fucking sense.
But like, why do white people suck? That's a good question. Like we just don't.
How long
we're
you
not
got,
clean.
Brother?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
how
why do we not?
Got?
Like,
we
don't.
We got no culture. We're not cool. We're not clean. We're not nice. We're
yeah.
spoiled. We're, you know, it's the worst.
I don't know. I mean, I'm Native American, so I can't even.
Oh yeah,
that. Yeah.
How much percentage? What percentage are you?
Amen. Amen. You know, like I believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He carries me through every day. He gets me through it.
Well, did you grow up religious?
Yeah, I grew up really religious.
Do you still believe?
No, it's fake as shit.
Yeah, you got a brain, right?
it's so crazy to me. Like you know, my family's like, you know, the Democrats are fucking. When babies are born, they put a towel over them and kill them and give them to Planned Parenthood. And then I'm like, no, that's not how it happens. I'm like, actually, I'm like, there's systematic racism that happens in this country through police brutality.
I'm
like,
sure
oh, you believe that?
I'm sure, yes.
You believe that shit?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, dude. Yeah. Like,
I
makes
do.
Sense.
Yeah. Are you like one? I mean, you know, you do travel around a lot now. You've gotten out of where you were raised. You've experienced a lot. That I'd imagine there are some people in town who like haven't gotten out and haven't seen.
I've
that.
Gotten the best of both worlds. I grew up. S Town was the big podcast. It was on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It was number one for a while. I'm from S Town, basically. I'm from Brookwood, so I knew all the Berts involved in that whole podcast and everything. If you haven't, go listen to S Town. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I knew all those people, and I grew up right beside that. And so that's where the Klan started in Alabama. Was in Bibb County, and so I knew all those people. So I moved from there when I was like 21 to New York here, and I meet these, you know,
was that for comedy?
Yeah.
For work, yeah.
And then I meet these, like, women that are far liberal that are like, men, by breathing every day, you are killing women's rights or whatever, you know, whatever, you know, bullshit. And so I've seen both of these sides of this, like, craziness. And so I'm kind of in the middle. And so people are like, you know, and it's like black people have issues in this country. But black people also, like, I know black people in my hometown that don't have those issues. But then, like, then you go in the fucking north where you're in New York, and somebody's like, oh, my God, we've done so much wrong to this, and then we've done this. I'm like, well, not, like, hold on. Like, you see both sides, which is a great thing. Because now I can
kind of see. Can't.
I can see through the bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I had a guy, used to show up late to work every day at Mercedes. Black guy. He's like, hey, because I'm black. I'm like, no, you're late every day, dude. You're late every day here. You've been late. You're late every day this week, and I do your work for you. He goes, no, man, it's because I'm black. I'm like, no, it's because you're late, motherfucker. You
right,
know?
Right.
So it's like, I think that makes me like, it makes me, I guess the most important thing, and I don't mean to reference Carlos Mencia here, but he said something one time that really resonated with me, where he was like, if you can't say a joke in front of everyone, you don't say it in front of anyone. And so with me, I've been around so many different cultures. Like, just like briefly, whether it's in New York or in the South, I've been around the liberals and the conservatives. I've been around far left, far right. And I can just, I've learned how to make my jokes work for everyone, which I feel like very important, because a lot of comics you meet in New York, I mean, I go to the Cellar and they're like, the white man is evil. He's taking our power. You know, it's do that in Des Moines, bitch. You
right.
Know?
See how many tickets
good
you
luck
sell.
Selling tickets in Brooklyn, you know, for like real. Go to Brooklyn, sell your tickets, because you're for never real, traveling. Man.
Yeah.
I think
that's
important, though, to meet these people and to be around people that are different from you. And like black crowds the same way. Black crowds love being made fun of. They love it. But then you have a lot of white people come in. They come in, they're like, you know, oh, my love, I'm white and I'm weird. And they're like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, you got to do it.
You
with
have to
and be
you
funny
resonate
and, yes,
to people.
Yes,
that's
yes,
the big
yes.
thing is
right.
learning how to connect with people.
Right.
And as disconnected as I am from people, I still have been in the culture long enough to learn, like, you don't have to change who you are. If you're honest, you can get by with anything. Anything, dude. You know?
With a little bit, you got to be talented too, though.
I don't think I'm talented at all. I don't think, dude, what I do, there is no talent behind it. It is 110% just honesty and just fucking around. I am the least talented guy.
I would say that about myself, and Fights is a guy who says the same thing, and like, I know where you're coming from, but also, you're wrong. Because, like, you are talented. You're not, like, there's a lot of people who are honest and a lot of people who just spill their guts and all that shit that are not.
But they're
like,
not
funny
honest.
Stand-up comics.
They're fucking nerds and they suck. That's the
sure.
issue. You know?
But listen, anybody who can put together an act, be funny on stage, tweak it, change it, write it, present it in a way that makes everybody laugh, like, that's a talent. It is.
I don't think it is. I think it's something.
But that's because you're dumb.
Yeah.
You're talented, but
like,
you're
look,
fucking stupid.
This camera right here, color grading that footage, couldn't do it in a million years. I've tried to learn how to do that.
Yeah,
that shit is impossible.
Right,
me.
But that's another talent. You know, these guys can do that. Like,
yeah.
What you have is, and they, you know, normal people like us can't do what you do. I think I think stand-up comedy is.
Could
the,
you put
the,
together a full hour, you think?
No.
I think you could.
No. No. I did. I opened for Josh Wolf once as just like a stand-up, like doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, Josh.
Like,
I love Josh. Yeah.
And I put together like 7 minutes, I think, 10 minutes, and it was like fine. I didn't bomb. His crowd, I don't think, was ready for like some of the shit. He was like, I don't know if my crowd is ready for some of the things you're talking about. I'm talking about jerking off and fucking, you know. I mean, I could probably like cobble together the funniest jokes I've made on the blog and on the podcast and on this, but it wouldn't be good. An hour? Fucking hour, dude? No.
Hey,
no, I'm so late. It's my dream.
What about that paycheck, though, that's going to come? Because, I mean, look, that podcast does pretty well.
Yeah, that's
we can sell some tickets.
Dude, that little, doing the live
that
podcast
that stool emblem
so
does okay
though.
For
yeah,
y'all.
I know, man. It's been a good ride. But doing the podcast where it's just like, let's have a conversation and bust balls, that's very different than being up there alone and doing jokes that, like, if they don't hit, there's no laughter, and that means you're bombing. That's a very different
story. But y'all also do something really important here. Because y'all's podcast helped my podcast. Do
well,
what
that's, that's what I hope.
And
yeah,
so that's
I mean,
what I'm saying is you're doing a lot. Because for comics right now, man, we are fucking up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. We have no TV shows to really launch us anymore. We have Rogan.
Well, that's why my dream would be like an East Coast Rogan. And I know I'm never going to be on that level. But like I would like to be the Your place steroids. Where it's like, yeah, I gotta get a sauna. I gotta hunt elk. I gotta fucking gotta get jacked and fight MMA. And then maybe
let's
I gotta
go out first. We'll do, I got a little bit of sniffing snots in my back. We'll do sniffing snots. We'll kill a homeless person.
Yeah,
and we'll
I'll
just
do
go
the east. Yes, that's what I hunt.
That's the east.
You hunt elk. I hunt humans. Man. Yeah, but like I would love to be known as like you know when you come through my show, like we put you on and you get to sell some more tickets or you get more followers and it'll not
podcast
be like that,
went up
you know?
Probably 50%. And about welcome to Brookwood, episode 3, 8, mm-hmm. and 11 are our best episodes. Yeah,
3, 8, and 11. That's right.
Yeah. I always like to refer someone to a really good episode.
I know. I like you got that on deck because a lot of people say to us like, "Where should we start?" And I'm like, I don't even remember what I said last episode, let alone like years ago. It just comes in and out, and I don't remember it.
Do y'all edit a lot your podcast?
Do you guys edit? No, they don't. We don't take much out.
I've been having
they like make it like sound better and all that shit.
Dude, I've been having to go through ours
a
little bit.
Take it out. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why I am obsessed with Hitler and on the wrong
so
side.
You edit your own shit?
Yeah. So me and my buddy Tony, the guy on it, and so we just have a couple things. The problem is, like when I drink and just like I'm just having a good time and. And I'll kind of just like, if I'm telling a story, I'll say the fucking names. I told this story about a comic that I know. It was an extremely embarrassing story. And I just say his name and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Do you beep the name or do you cut it out?
No, we beep the name.
Yeah. Because then you still.
We had one part about, it was one thing about a civil rights thing we had to completely get rid of. I sent it to my agent. He goes,
nah, I don't do it.
He goes,
actually, we had something recently. What was it? I think it was what was that debate with Jen we had recently? But we ended up running it. It was talking about like having sex with children or something like that, right? that was the most recent thing that was like.
If your dick could cure cancer,
it's a great question. If your dick could cure cancer,
yeah,
you have to fuck the person with cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like you know an 11-year-old who's gonna die of cancer.
Yeah. Gotta do it.
Yes. And that was, we had like a debate about can we run that and can we have, do we have a sponsor that's going to be in front of that or after that? I was like, this is a debate about curing cancer. I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like
about.
That's like Roman swipes that goes like right after that. Like, guys, make your dick heroic. Saving kids, do you want to last longer? You know, like, that's not a bad
thing. Save more people. But I think at this point, I got a good feel for like, I don't want to, there's a lot to lose now, unfortunately. Like
that's what sucks.
We used to let it fly.
To
yeah. Two things change. One, like the climate and the landscape.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even necessarily care about like me, but it's like if I fuck this all up and they don't have a job and these guys don't make it and I'm fucking
I mean,
up
these guys
shit,
are never gonna do anything.
These
else.
Are bums.
I mean, these are
fucking
look
bums.
At these fucking
just carrying
fucking
them around like
right
luggage.
You know?
But like that's so I don't fuck around with it anymore. Like I'll if I. If I'm about to say something that I really think is fucked up, I'm just like, well, I'm not gonna. Which does suck, though. I don't like that. I like just letting it rip. And I would love to be, you know, maybe one day I get some money from this, do a Patreon, do something where it's like only my people are listening, and I'm gonna.
That's
fucking
why I started a Patreon.
All,
yeah. I started a Patreon so I could talk about like I announced the big thing that we know between me and you, and I announced that on there because I was like, this is my Patreon. I can say whatever the fuck I want on here, and so I went on there and just and I'm saying whatever I want. It's
so
cool.
So your people know now.
Yeah. Well, the issue is just growing the Patreon
right.
with my engagement being 94%.
Well, that's what hopefully
less.
We'll like, you know, we'll help out with that kind of shit and get more and more people to know about it and talk about it word of mouth.
The Patreon is I feel like it's something necessary. Like I looked up, you know, like Chris DeStefano does one, Mark and Joe do one.
At this point it's
I mean Tim Dillon is I mean that one I went over to Tim's house the other day. And I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, man, you know this is, like, crazy, right? Like, you know.
Does he know it? Does he?
Like yeah, he goes, oh, no, it's insane.
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah.
I'm like, bro, you make, like, what
big
what
money.
People would kill for to make in a year and a month off one episode.
I know.
Audio only.
One, I know.
On
it's
your
like,
Patreon a fucking week.
He had the perfect storm of, you know, obviously wildly talented, but the timing of it all with politics being hot and that being his forte.
And Rogan.
The pandemic and beginning
the
on
Rogan
like, every other week. Like,
I'm getting pissed off, though. I'm getting mad.
That you're not getting on there?
I'm really getting upset.
You're ready for your time.
Because I live in Austin.
Yeah.
I'm on the wall.
Right.
They painted a whole wall of Austin comics. I'm one of 11. Me, Segura, Ron White, Rogan, Brian Redband, Tony Hinchcliffe. I'm on the wall. And that motherfucker don't know me yet. It is.
You think Joe is like, who's that fucking? That must be the artist. He put his own face on there.
I don't know, dude. It's making me mad. I just want to be Rogan's. I just want.
It's tough.
I just
want
to wrestle with him. I want to touch his body, dude. You know, I just want to fucking rub him. And I want to smell. She's like,
you know what you
got to
do?
Money.
Work the cigar angle. He likes cigars, right?
He loves cigars. Yeah. He smokes Foundation, which is a very good cigar.
Yeah.
It's not as good as my, oh my God, my Christoph. I have a cigar launching.
Oh my God.
I have a cigar launching.
Would
and,
you like to show it? Do we have
yeah,
a picture?
Yeah, I mean, I have a picture right here.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's unbelievable. It's just
so it's,
I guess,
I, it's
that,
so crazy how that
just
popped
naturally
up.
Popped up.
Naturally.
Like
I mean, it's pretty insane. My mom texted like, back. He's not attractive. so crazy. So I don't even know. I mean, I could share
yeah,
that.
Look
like,
at
yeah,
that.
Just
sure.
Let me look
we'll
at that right here.
Edit, can, yeah.
This guy has no idea what to do with this. This guy's like, he's like, you show me your phone. He has this 2022 airdrop it, bitch. I have my own cigar coming out with Pravada, who's a exclusive cigar club. Christoph as well, which is Boston stand up. You know, go up there.
I feel like you could smoke some cigars with him, and then that's your in.
I would love
but
it.
But as I understand it, like you can't like ask to be on it, then you're never going to get on
yeah.
it. And if like for instance, if you were to go on another podcast and like whine about it and cry about not getting on there, and then you
yeah,
see
like that, that,
that,
that would make no sense
on.
To do that,
that
right?
Would be,
but
that
it
would be
pisses
like
me off.
Right
they won't have me on. Dude, I'm going to get, I think I will. I think my Rogan will do well when I do it.
Yeah.
Because I can just tell you, we're going to smoke cigars, which give me a good little body high. And then we're going to drink. If he asks me to do DMT, I will do DMT.
Definitely.
And by the end of that podcast, I will be talking about how the vaccine's fake and everyone's going to die from it. Like, I'm a guy, I go along with whatever's in the room.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll go along with whatever we're talking
like,
about.
Yep, okay.
And I'm like, DMT, and be like, yes, the vaccine gives you dick problems. Like, I will 100% by the end of that podcast.
I think that Rogan must not like Barstool. Because he is never, like, by now, Dave should have been on Rogan. Like,
yeah.
Dave
would
be a
so
billionaire
Dave,
in this
I watched
space.
Bill and Bert, Dave. And I thought yeah. Bill and Bert were David on there. I don't know, because he talks about Dave. He's talking about the pizza. I don't know. He said pizza guy, though, right?
Right.
It's always guy.
Like,
it's
in very much in passing. He's
yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I saw that Barstool, like, got acquired and made some money. Or, like, oh, yeah, that pizza guy. And it's like, I just, by now, he would have talked about it. Or, like.
Dude, don't worry about this. Look, let me tell you something right now. I am where I am in my life now. I make enough money where I can ride out comedy forever. I don't need anyone. I can make $1,500 a week for the rest of my life.
It's a good feeling.
Good feeling.
Yeah.
I don't have to go back to the coal mines or nothing, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
This is where I live. So I can say whatever I want. I'm gonna go on Rogan for you guys, and I'm gonna roll my chest down before. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna stand up and tell you, I'm gonna be like, hey, what's up, dude? Joe, why do you not bring on any Barstool people? And he's going to be like, I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. I'm like, Joe, do it now. And he's going to say, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to have you guys
sorry.
On.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
or
Rocky.
He's going to fucking karate kick me in the goddamn
yep,
head.
Yep, yep. You know what I love? One time Rogan did a segment where he was talking about like being able to fight and shit. And because can you fight?
So here's what sucks. I would love to say, yeah. But these fuckers watching on these cameras right now are gonna laugh at me in the comments. You can't say you can fight.
Right.
You can't.
Because then some like black belt will be like, and it's like, yeah, I'm not saying I could beat up everyone in the world.
So I.
But like, if we got in a bar fight,
I
like,
was
you
an
would,
all-state
you
wrestler.
Win?
I was
oh,
an all-state
yeah.
wrestler.
Right, right.
I trained Muay Thai for about 3 or 4 years.
You're crazy. Wrestling's
and
crazy.
I was a jiu-jitsu guy for about 2 or 3 years.
So then, yes, motherfucker.
But you can't say
no,
that
because right,
the comments are like, this guy thinks
you're
hard ass.
But to someone like me who it's like,
I once
did gymnastics when I was 7. It's like, yeah, you can fucking fight, dude.
Yeah.
But I remember Rogan saying, like, he was like, yeah, man, like, I think he was just talking about people run their mouth. And he was like, I'll break both of your arms and leave you right on the fucking floor, man. Like, you won't be able to stand up because I'll break all your bones, dude. And I was just like, God, I would love to be. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't be the type of guy who goes around fighting. But
once
just knowing you could,
yeah,
it changes. Like, I would walk around so much more confident, so much more calm. Every room I walked into, I'd be like, if shit goes down and for some reason this breaks out into a fight, like, I'm good.
That's
you know?
That is the cool thing about knowing how to fight is you don't ever, like, I guess, like, panic.
Right.
Right.
You're always cool.
You're always,
even if people start talking shit, you're arguing back and forth. It's like, we're not going to fight right now. But if it were to escalate there, I would win.
And
so I'm going to make fun of you and I can be calm and I can be relaxed. Because I know if it does escalate to the top, I'm good.
Well, the thing that happens, though, is then this goes through your head. So you're calm, you're laughing, which makes someone madder.
Always.
When you laugh at them.
Or also they're almost like, why are you still laughing? Aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So you stay calm, you fight a lot less. Mm-hmm. So I start training, I've fought so much less. But you stay calm, you laugh at them, and then, though, what happens is you realize one thing, that if this guy is dumb enough to tackle you or hit you or whatever he's going to do, and you come back at him, he's going to sue you.
Yes.
And that's what happens.
You're gonna knock me over. I'm going to break your fucking orbital bone.
Yeah, so that's why you're. That's why I love Muay Thai. When you learn how to kick, it's such a cool thing. But it's like, I would never kick anyone.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Footage of Rocky in a bar, like some guy's fucking with him, and he's just like, ah!
There's footage
like,
of me on YouTube dropping face. A guy. Yeah?
Yeah. How, like...
It was really early on, my first or second week when I took Muay Thai, and I was like 19, and this I'm fighting with this guy in the yard, and I throw a fucking straight, and he fucking clocked him and knocked him out. Oh, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Feel good, right?
It feels good, but it's also like, you think about this, though, it's like, girls don't like fighting.
Yeah,
They do not like fighting.
Yeah. I feel like girls like a guy who can fight, who doesn't.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend hates it altogether. It. Yeah. My girlfriend just loves throwing shade behind your back. So, like, she has no interest in doing shit in front of your face.
Right, right.
So, I've learned how to fight. And since I've learned how to fight, basically, since I've done all this stuff, I've been attacked 3 times. I've done nothing. Because I know what can happen if I do anything back where I don't want to get in trouble at all.
What, you've been attacked?
I got scratched in Vegas by that lady.
Yeah.
Video on my Instagram. Right. I got punched in Vegas by that guy. and I got punched at a bar in Alabama.
And, like, you just
now
walk
just,
away?
They hit me, and I went, all right. And I just...
I mean, again, when you got some money to lose and some shit to lose. Like,
dude, because let me tell you...
A couple years ago, maybe different story, but right now...
No, Young Rocky was hitting cops. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Young Rocky?
Young Rocky.
Oh, Young Rocky.
Jail cell.
Young Rocky was at a fucking party one time at this old pad, and this big old redneck dummy was fucking drunk. He was trying to drive home, and his little friend was like, hey, bro, you can't drive home. You're going to wrack yourself. And he goes, whatever, and pushed him, shoved him against, like, I think, like, slapped him as well. And so I grabbed the guy, and like, the guy, like, came at me, and I fucking picked him up and put him on the ground. And then he started, like, punch me, right? And so I, like, grabbed his arm, and I put his arm back. I was going to Kimura him. He bit my side.
Oh,
his fucking hillbilly.
Fuck.
And then I fucking cranked his arm, and his arm cracked. Mm. And then I got up and run. He fucking broke skin on my side. Like,
he's
literally.
Like a zombie? Some fucking...
He's a fucking dumb hillbilly with bad teeth.
Yeah, you know?
And it was like, but that doesn't make any sense. That whole night I left from that. And I'm like, okay, well, that guy's arm is hurt now. His shoulder's fucked up. I'm bleeding. Yeah, I got
tetanus shot.
I got gator fan on my side
I'm
right here.
I'm rabbing
now,
yeah.
So, fighting makes no sense. I look back at all my fights. Not one of them, except for I had a guy that bullied me in high school. And I whooped his ass one time.
Nah,
I threw leg kicks, threw some straight, like, fucking axe kicks. Yeah. I was slapping him open-handedly. I took him down, and that was probably the
was
most
this after the
one.
Fact, like years later,
this was
or like
years
you learned,
later.
Okay, yeah.
Year after
did
high
you,
school,
did you like seek him out?
No, he got upset.
Oh,
with
even better, he just happened to like.
He
run
got
into
upset
it.
At the wrestling ring. He was a wrestler as well, and he was a friend, but he was kind of like a friend where he maintained dominance.
Yes, yeah.
And then in the wrestling,
like what I do with you.
Your podcast hasn't had anyone who listens, dude. Goddamn. We're going to pass y'all one day, okay?
Probably will.
So, no, he was really aggressive in the wrestling room after we graduated. And he kept, like, getting aggressive. And then so he threw the football at me. And then I was like, all right, let's wrestle. And so he tried to do his throw. He had done work forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking pinned him right on his back. Just dropped him. Whole fucking room was like, what the fuck?
Oh, shit.
He gets mad, starts getting up, trying to slap. I was like, let's go to your house. So we go to his house. And I stood in his front yard and whooped his ass.
You moved from there to the house?
It was like a mile on the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we got back to his house, whooped his
ass. On his own front lawn.
And I swear to God, that motherfucker went insane after that.
I bet.
He came
to my
house.
That's the kind of shit that breaks a person's brain.
He came to my house one day talking about how God was calling him and how God was telling him he needs to be the chief of police of Brookwood and how the coal mines, they have a road that connects them. This is not a joke, by the way. I'm being serious. We went to Dollar General and got a poster board and drew out the cross for the coal mines where they line up, because it does line up technically in a cross where all the coal is. And
so
he goes, God told me where this is. I'm going to be the chief of police. I want you to be the fire department head chief. And he,
so
we drove to town that day. We drove to town. He wrecked his car twice driving to town.
Holy
he
shit.
Went to an insane asylum, broke out, got put back in it. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
like got out of like
he was
like
a great linebacker though. Yeah. Yeah,
great linebacker.
He showed up at a party in Tuscaloosa we were at. His arms were sliced up because he had broken out of the place.
Holy shit!
Yeah, swear to God,
life of the party. No man, lie, I'm here. Let's go.
No lie, but welcome to Rookwood episode 3, 8, and 11, dude.
There's your plug, bro. 3, 8, and 11, man. Well, I mean, I could probably talk to you forever and ever, but I love seeing what you're doing, man. Because you're, I think authenticity is the most important thing in the whole fucking the whole thing.
100%.
We could talk about talent and timing and luck and friends and hookups and all the shit, but like you said, if you keep it real. And you're unique, you know. You got look. You got your own like story to tell. You got your own. I think like when I think it's not like a like when you come up north and you're in New York and you're doing shit like stories from your life. It's
yeah.
Like it's even better because it's like there are funny comics, but now there's a funny comic and I'm like learning some shit or like
yeah.
finding out about a different culture or a different way of life and different people.
Well, you look at people
and not that,
that
haven't been comics from the South, but like right now you're doing that. You're
yeah,
that
but
guy
you're
right
seeing
now.
Someone. It also is not ashamed of where they're from either. Mm-hmm. That's like a big thing. Everyone's mm-hmm. like ashamed of being from the South. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm from a small town and I hate it. And I'm like, I love Brooklyn.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
We just got a Jack's restaurant. So we got a whole another fast food restaurant.
I was listening to Roy Wood Jr. on.
Roy's my one of my best friends.
Roy's fucking. He was his last.
Roy's the worst guy to give advice, by the way.
To get
so Roy
get advice from.
Yeah, so Roy's from Birmingham. Mm-hmm. I'm from Brookwood. 45 minutes.
Because that was he told on Bert. Bert was kind of saying like. Do you wish you were from anywhere? Do you wish you were not from Alabama because of like the stigma? And he was like, "Fuck
no!"
Like, and he was like, "We filmed in Alabama, and like all of my crew that came down, like everybody loved it. Everybody
it's
it does
gorgeous.
Have a stigma, but once you learn about it, it's no. great." So, but what did you say?
So Roy, I've known him forever because I met him my fourth show of all ever I ever did,
mm-hmm.
and so I would text Roy about business questions. So like, hey man, this agent offered this, or this manager, or this club, you know. All mm-hmm. my questions coming up in comedy. Roy would never give me an answer. Roy would be like, all right, cool. So the Looney Bin wants to give you $500 to host for the week. You don't know if you should do it? Okay, so should you do it? A squirrel climbs up a tree.
Mm.
Is he going to make it to the top? Who knows? And I'm like,
what does that
mean? Yeah, what the
mean?
Fuck does that mean, Roy?
What does
Roy?
That mean, Aristotle?
What does that mean?
Give me the answer.
So he would never, like, give me answers. Mm-hmm. And Roy is one of the nicest, funniest
well, you know
fucking
that,
comics,
well,
but he would never give me the answers.
I think that's probably one of two things. I think that's either, I don't want to give, there's the guy who's like, I'm not going to give you the answer because I want you to, like, figure out the answer yourself. And then there's the answer, then there's the guy who's like, I don't want to give you advice that's wrong, and then you fucking blame me.
Yeah.
That I'm the second guy.
Well, then
you
I
might
text,
be the first one. Like,
I would text
I
him when I
learn,
said,
but,
and then yeah. he'd be like, that's what I want you to do. I'm like, bitch, you just told me a fucking, if mold grows out of a shoe, you know, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, then nothing could be his fault, man.
Yeah, that's what me and Terry, you know, Terry, I brought Terry in last
yeah,
time, Terry
yeah.
Thomas, and we both dealt with that, because Roy's like the guy from Alabama.
Sure, I mean,
and, like, he's
in
like
the business,
I mean, he's
like the real side.
Business,
of, like,
I mean, he's been through it all
Bailey,
and stuff,
yeah,
and
yeah.
who knows where he's going to go in this
yeah,
industry,
no,
and so it's such good to have a guy, but not like, that's like, it's cool to have someone like Roy to, like a black guy. Mm-hmm. They're not ashamed of being from Alabama because mm-hmm. obviously me I look like I've been there forever,
right,
baby.
Right, right.
Yep. Remember the Titans? You know what I'm saying? But you know it's good to have people because I love where I'm from and I you know I hate this fucking city and I come back just for my best friends like you know and that's all I come back for.
1 hour and 15 minutes.
Man. 1 hour and 15 minutes. 1 hour 15.
By the way, the podcast is longer than that. So 1 hour and 15 in traffic, and we did how long is this?
140.
So you know, we got you got 25 minutes worth.
What the fuck, dude? You better share some, put some all your guys' socials, dude. And
yeah,
I'm gonna share
we're gonna blow this up. We're gonna blow this up. Fuck Instagram for suppressing.
And then
shit.
Taylor's gonna post one story about it. It's gonna be the biggest fucking show in the world. Taylor Tomlinson talks about depression. It's like goddamn huge. Also, Taylor Tomlinson saw 19 shows at the fucking Wilmore. You know? She fucking kills me.
That's the game, man. That's the
That's
game.
The fucking game, dude.
My dude, thank
Love you.
You,
brother.
Appreciate
thank
it,
you, man.
That was great. That was funny shit.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.